gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 124 for New Comic Book Day, January 9th, 2019.
Question, wait a minute, we've been doing this for how many years?
This will be our third year coming up. June is our birthday?
Yeah. Well, I'd say we've been doing this for 2 years officially, right?
Yeah, as of right now, we're 2.5 to almost 3 years.
It's funny how this is our 124th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we had to take a slight break here and
we
there.
We had to, yeah.
And It was the holidays, guys.
It was the holidays. Hope you guys had a good one, too.
It's been a month since we've done a show, and basically almost 2 months since we did a regular show.
Yeah. But we got some new stuff, guys, if you don't mind us showing the camera. Now, anybody that's not watching us on Twitch, we have new mugs with our logo on it.
We have the official DC Superpowers Podcast ceramic coffee cup.
Woo! So that's new.
Yes.
What? How was your holiday? Let me just get to that real quick.
It was good. Had a lot of work too much, but it was pretty good.
You did. I was like, I'm going to have to spend some time with family. I got to just take this off. But I had a really great time. This was a really good Christmas. One of the best ones, I think. And we had a lot of good stuff coming out this year. We had some Aquaman events. We got the Titans. We got some comic books.
Most of this show, since we've taken so much time off, most of the show is going to be catching up on what we've missed over the last couple of months here. And it's also, we didn't weigh in much on our thoughts on Elseworlds.
No, we haven't yet.
Or Aquaman.
Oh, so good.
Or, what were some of the other ones that came in? Titans finale we've not touched on yet.
Young Justice.
Justice premiered this past week. So there's a lot of stuff we got to cover. But before we do that, I think we need to help pay the bills a little bit. And things like, everybody check out I almost said Geek Watch 1 because I did. This is going to be interesting with our new day of Sunday nights recording.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I record Geek Watch 1 in the afternoon.
And now you're going
to be
recording.
It's going to be interesting to see how many times I mess this up. But this is www.dcsuperpowers.com. And on the swag page there, you can see our T Public store. Now, T Public is not just T-shirts.
No, there's not.
Now, anybody that's watching on the Twitch feed can see my awesome DC Superpowers T-shirt. I also have our ball cap on.
Yes.
But for Christmas, we got the ceramic mugs.
Woo!
It's awesome having a coffee cup with your logo on it.
Oh, it feels great. Sipping out of this of any beverage that you have, just know when it's yours, it's yours.
That's right. But also on the now you can get coffee cups, T-shirts, all kinds of different types of T-shirts, from tank tops to long sleeve to baseball
tees,
hats, throw pillows, tote bags, phone covers, all this stuff's available. Yeah.
If your baby needs somewhere too, they have stuff for babies.
They have onesies.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
I want to see someone with a DC Superpowers onesie on a baby.
Please.
That would be awesome.
That'll make our year, actually.
Yeah.
That'll make our year.
I want to see this, Super Friends. Well, also, if you go to the website, there's also a tab on there for all of our sponsors. Now, it doesn't cost you anything extra. You just go to the website, shop like you would normally do, and there's things like Sideshow Collectibles. There's things from another world. These are all geeky and comic book stuff that we've chosen to put on there.
Yeah.
And they help us and thank us for sending you to their website. So check them out. If you find anything, that's awesome. But just make sure you go through our website first. That's DCSuperpowers.com. And also, the other little bit of news is the fact that you can see now, we're recording on Sunday night.
Yes, it's a new, as I just put up, I said, anybody that's looking at our Instagram feed, different bat time, same bat channel. So we're still going to be here. Check out everything as you did before, but just move it up a day. We're going to be doing Sundays instead of Mondays. An hour early, too.
Yeah, and if we change that, because every once in a while, you're going to have something happens in life and you have to record it at a different time. We will let you know on the Instagram and Twitter feed, at least, and probably on Facebook, too, of the change. It will probably switch to Monday night for that week and then come back.
Yeah. So
the only other request is
stay tuned.
Anybody watching us on Twitch, let us know who you are in the chat, because we have no idea. I have no way of seeing who it is that's broadcasting. Either that, or I just don't know how to use Twitch this way yet.
We're learning. We've been learning, but we have some updates too. So our computers.
That's right. We are watching the chat live as we're broadcasting. So, but since we've got all of that out of the way, you want to jump into this?
Yeah, let's do it.
We have a lot of stuff. Well, the first thing we got is actually, since this is for us the first show of the year, and weren't able to really finish up last year, right? Well, we have some of the best top 10 things from DC Comics from last year.
Yeah.
And they have at the top of the list, number one, Dr. Manhattan.
Of course. Yes, we finally figured out that they're going to incorporate what's ever going on in Doomsday Clock actually into our main universe. It's going to take some time to catch up.
We still haven't caught up yet to it.
But we will.
Yeah. Well, I think they've done some delays on Doomsday Clock. I think it's to let the regular universe catch up to this. They've
just give them some time.
Yeah, give them some time to write the stories and catch them up to where Doomsday Clock's going to finish. Because I think we're only on issue 8 of Doomsday Clock, and we have 12 total coming. So.
So we got Dr. Manhattan. That was a big thing you seen to watch me. Something that was long overdue.
Yeah, the Doomsday Clock has been interesting because they are slowly moving stuff in. You're seeing Joker dealing with, we saw Joker when he first sees Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
For once, someone made the Joker blush.
He's a little naked.
Put more clothes on. Yeah.
A little naked.
There's all kinds of fun stuff like that in there, and seeing the different reactions and stuff from our DC Universe characters with the characters from the Watchmen universe has been interesting to see how they're doing, the reactions and actions, and how Mime and Marionette work well with the Joker partially.
Partially, yeah.
But sometimes
they're very similar,
don't.
But they also are very opposite.
Yeah,
of each
they're
other.
A little more violent and crazy than the Joker sometimes.
Yeah. They have more outbursts.
Yes.
Joker always is planned for whatever. Even if he knows, he just seems a little weird. Mm-hmm. He already had a plan for it.
Yeah, he has a plan. No one else understands it.
Exactly.
And no one else can make any sense of what his plan is. But he's a comic, so on stage, he knows what the punchline is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next up is actually back with the Joker again. It's the unlikeliest of dynamic duos. And one of the big stories from last year was Sean Gordon Murphy's Batman White Knight. Now, did you read this all the way through?
Not really. I read the first issue.
Okay, I've read parts of it.
That's it.
But it was, I believe, an 8-issue miniseries in which the Joker gets rehabilitated into an actual active part of society. And I believe he makes everybody believe that the Batman has gone crazy.
Right, and he's the sane one.
Yes. It flips the script on the Joker and the Batman.
This is how everybody else sees it. I haven't really gotten into it that much, but...
Well, will you get a chance to do it again? Because this year, they will be re-releasing White Knight in Black Label as a trade, I believe.
Good.
From DC Black Label.
Well, I'm going to have to check it out.
Another one. I don't know if it made the list, but we got Batman Damned. Did you read issue 2 yet?
No, I only read one, and that was even the censored one. The first one, but I got the censored one. Didn't get in time.
Well, next up...
Is another Batman.
Well, yeah, no, it's back in the Batman universe, and this actually took 50 issues to get here, but we see there's someone pulling the strings behind everything happened to the Batman, and we find that Bane is actually the big boss right now behind everything, and we do know that this run of Batman right now is going to take 100 issues, so the halfway point was we're going to talk about in a little bit, number 50.
Yeah.
But moving ahead, now we know who's pulling the strings behind all of this that's going on.
Yeah, set up even the downfall of his wedding.
Yes. So next up is number 7, which was kind of a surprise that Martian Manhunter did this, was we find out that Green Arrow was given the keys to the kingdom, kind of.
Yeah, it was really weird because even everything that's happening with Green Arrow right now in the comics, we might not see a lot of his own title, but at the end of the Dark Knight Metal, he was able to get Lyria, as you said, to King Sakitum. Martian Manhunter granted him a gift.
Yeah, he gave him kind of this box and tells him if for some reason the Justice League gets out of control for any reason, this will fix it.
And it's funny.
They've never shown anybody what this is or anything else. It's just a box that Ollie has. It's a reset button of some sort.
And it's really funny to me that Green Arrow gets this because I've heard for years that, since they were created, Batman and Green Arrow are very similar but different. Batman is what most people consider the darker side to what Green Arrow is, and Green Arrow is the more lighter side to those two.
Well, they're both billionaire vigilantes.
Yeah. with and both no powers, work as but they have somewhat. Their skills. They yes. have their brain. But Ollie's never been one for a team. He's usually yeah. a solo. And now since
or him and Speedy, or him and Red Arrow, or he's got a sidekick, but that's it. Those don't last too long,
even.
Yeah.
So him having this also, I think, solidifies his position in the DC universe. Mm-hmm. Like, he means this much to them, where Marshmallow's like, hey, if we mess up, you can fix this.
Yeah. Next up is back to the Batman. They say it's the ultimate bat punch. As Bane plotted to turn Gotham against Batman, he drove the vigilante to become even
more crazy?
Violent against or the vigilante to become even violent against criminals, even beating some of them, including Mr. Freeze, nearly to death.
Yeah.
And remember, right after the wedding, they had that whole series that was about
the trial of Batman was going to go through. Well, it was, Bruce Wayne was the
Mr. Freeze on trial, and whether or not Batman actually got the right guy.
That was it. Okay. Yeah, and Bruce Wayne was actually in the jury trying to figure out did exactly. he do something wrong or not.
And it was interesting that he's the one, and if I remember right, it was his vote that freed Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm. No, he's the one that did it.
Exactly. So next up, we get number 5 on our list here is Lex beats the bat and yeah. breaks the bat.
Yeah, he had to be in a, not a cast, but yeah. a metal well, cast
in,
for a while.
It was a cast, because in Justice League number 6, this is all fallout from the Justice League No Justice mm-hmm. and the Dark Knight's Metal, where they broke the source wall.
Yep.
They have the totality, which they're not sure exactly what this is, but the Justice League is trying to protect it. And Lex Luthor, with his suit, basically broke most of Batman's body.
Or body, not even back, just his body. He mm-hmm. did even worse than what Bane did. That was a big thing that happened, because like no one's going to be able to touch
Batman. Yeah, to the point where in like 2 months of worth of actual time, worth of comics, Batman was basically in a full body cast.
Right.
So, but the next one up after that is the return of Jonathan Kent. Now, he yeah. was gone for what, about 2 months?
Right, and he looks
and he comes back. It looks like he's
older.
He's aged like about 3 years.
Yeah. It seems like that teenage bug hit him, that puberty bug hit him.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the Phantom Zone that did all this?
Maybe, or maybe just being in space, time dilations or something?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe his grandpa, Jor-El, taught him something new about his heritage of Krypton that Clark never knew. Who knows?
So, I don't know, we will find out coming up, because that was basically the last issue of Superman that this happened in. Right. And the next issue is not out yet. It was just the very last piece. He's got new costume, all kinds of new stuff going on here. So we'll find out once this comes out. Number 3, this was a huge one.
Yeah.
This was Nightwing got shot in the head, and we get, no longer do we get Dick Grayson.
No,
we get Rick Gray. How is he doing it now?
I thought it was Rick. Maybe I might say it here. I thought
he's
it was
changed
Rick Gray.
A totally new personality where he is no longer Batman, or no longer Nightwing.
Yeah.
Well, it says here, yeah, Rick Grayson. So, and he's edgier. He's just he doesn't want to be a vigilante at all. And it also is another thing that Bane driving Batman to be more violent. He almost kills the KG Beast because of this, because the KG Beast is the one that does this.
Right. And yeah, when he was on that rooftop, he got shot in the head, which also altered a lot of things for the Titans, Batman's family, and just Nightwing
yeah.
in general.
Well, this year has been a very bloody year for the DC family in general.
Don't talk about it.
Because we got to get into the next one, which was from Heroes in Crisis, and in the first issue, everybody at Sanctuary, which we find is basically a place for heroes to go to deal with the violence that they have to deal with every...
the PTSD they deal
with
all
the time. Yeah, the PTSD and things like that that they're dealing with all the time. Well, someone killed everybody in Sanctuary, and we find out that Roy Harper and Wally West and an unknown Green Lantern were all at the Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, Roy Harper and Wally West and some unknown Green Lantern are all dead.
Yeah. It wasn't good. A lot of people, I feel like, a little upset that they killed off Wally Raff. They brought him just back in.
Yeah.
So, but I think they're going to come back personally, but I might be wrong.
We've not seen for a while. I'm wondering if Simon was not the Green Lantern that was there, because we've seen everybody else since then, other than Guy. And Guy Gardner wouldn't go to the place, I guess. I'm wondering if that's not Simon Baz.
You might be right. Might be Alan Scott.
But... you know what?
Hey, what was Alan?
That could set up because Alan, we'll get him soon, I think, because we're getting Justice Society soon.
Oh, okay.
But we know that Justice League Odyssey has Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Rayner is now part of Titans,
right? Which he was before. He was a Teen Titan member.
Yeah, he has been before. But Guy is often being Guy on Oa.
Yeah.
Now New Oa.
Mm-hmm.
Hal is out there in the new The Green Lantern,
series that just started up a couple weeks ago.
John Stewart is working with the regular Justice League.
Right. But so, there haven't been any mention of Simon Bass.
Yeah, Simon is we've not heard anything from. And we know in the new Young Justice, there's going to be a new teenage Green Lantern.
Right, which is John?
They've
John
not Hex? Said yet. I don't know. No, Jenny Hex is a totally different Hex. Character in it. But I am wondering, is that Simon's ring?
Could be. Oh.
We don't know it yet.
Oh, because he died.
If we've not heard from Simon, but we know we're getting a new Green Lantern,
yeah.
Is that why?
It could be why. That could be.
That's possible speculation. And the last story was one we've mentioned a couple times here, was The Wedding of the Bat. Issue 50 of this current run of Batman by Tom King. And it was a beautiful issue, even though the wedding never actually happened.
Yeah, people, I feel like 50-50 on this. Some people really wanted Batman to get married, and some people were really happy he didn't get married, because that would take away from Batman being Batman, which I agree, but at the same time, he should be happy.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is we know this is not the end of the story.
No.
The wedding may still happen once we get there, but this was the dead center middle of their story. So let's give them time to finish this off. Well, this is what we said when we first saw the story, too. So we'll give them time, see what happens, and see where they go with this.
Okay.
Tom King has done awesome so far.
Okay.
And he's...
I feel like he's one of the best writers for Batman I've seen in a long time.
Well, remember, last year for the annual, for the holiday special, he's the one of the very few comics writers that's gotten me to feel emotional.
Okay.
On that story of, remember the Batwoman and Catwoman growing old together story.
Yeah, we both kind of feel like teared up on that, because it was one of those things, just seeing him grow. He just wrote it beautifully.
Yeah, it was a beautiful writing. It was a great story. So I trust Tom King knows what he's doing.
He's already got this plan. Here's the thing. He has a plan. It's not like him writing issue to issue each week or month or every 2 weeks. He has got a set plan. And we're just going to have to follow him through these changes.
Exactly. And that was actually the last story they had as the best of. Now, is there any that you can think of that didn't make the list, maybe, that you remember as big hits from? Because,
to be honest with you,
Man of Steel was not on here. Yeah. We didn't talk about Dark Knight's Metal at all.
But that was where, no, that wasn't even last year.
That was this past year. That was in February.
Hmm. I mean, for me, Return of Martian Manhunter was on the list, just for me.
That Shazam was awesome last month.
Yeah, but that was 2019.
That was December.
That was December. Okay.
That was December. So was Martian Manhunter number one.
Could have made it. There was a lot of stuff that happened, but things that really surprised me. I was surprised, to be honest, that they made Batman, Breaking Batman's Heart.
Yeah.
As number one, I would have put that as number one. I would have put the events happening in Crisis as number one.
They took 50 issues and basically made you believe that Batman was ready to relax and just be married for a while.
Okay.
Because you got to think, remember when they started Rebirth, we told them how Batman seems more of like a father figure style to these people now.
Yeah.
Not just, I'm the boss, do what I say.
Right, right.
Which we've had for a long time.
Yeah, we had that for, I feel like, a decade.
Well, more than that, but yeah. So that was basically what happened for last year. And the first big event for this year is actually coming in theaters next week. Coming to theaters, now you got to check your local theater listings and stuff, January 13th and 14th. They're, DC Comics and Warner Brothers Animation are having a double feature. You're going to play The Death of Superman that came out last summer, and the world premiere of The Reign of the Supermen.
Yes.
In theaters as a double feature on January 13th and 14th. Mm-hmm. Check your local theaters. There's theaters everywhere doing this. There's four or five theaters in this area that are doing it.
Yeah.
So this is one I think I want to definitely go see.
And I feel bad saying this, but because I know we're going to get on the streaming site.
Yeah.
Which I'm already paying for. I'm probably just going to stay at home and watch it there.
Well, they did announce that starting with Reign of the Superman, the DC animated movies are going to be released day of DVD release on DC Universe now.
Yeah.
But you don't get any of the special features.
Or
any of that stuff. So if you're not a special feature person anyway, just get DC Universe and you can watch the movies.
Exactly.
There.
But if not, once again, still contributing to DC, buy the Blu-rays. Or get them digitally on another site where you can get everything.
Exactly.
All of it will be going towards what we love is DC.
So check those out. I know for us, the two big theaters right here are Cinemark and Regal.
Cinemark and Regal,
and both of them actually have theaters in the area running it.
And like I said, I went to Cinemark last time.
I think it's Fathom Events that's actually doing it. So if you go to Fathom Events website, give me just a moment. I'll
Killing Joke. That's the last time I went to see anything.
Let me double check this and make sure that this is what I'm thinking. Fathom Events. I believe that's who's actually putting this out. Hey, you're supposed to be talking when I'm not, when I'm Googling.
Hey, I was just looking down for a bit. Well, I'm also waiting because I want both of our opinions to go into this Elseworld.
Yeah, well, we're going to get that in just a minute.
Because this was something.
There, yes. If you go to fathomevents.com, you can actually get your tickets for the Death of Superman and the Reign of the Superman. So, and then, Super Friends, let us know if you went to see it. Let us know what you thought about it. You can get a hold of us on all of our social media, on the website, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of it.
Right.
Let us know what you thought. Next up, we got to talk. We were not doing a show when Elseworlds dropped.
No, we did not. And but Elseworlds was first time a big event.
They actually used the crossover to promote the next crossover.
And I thought it was yeah, they did also produce another show.
Yes, we did get the green light that the CW liked the pilot script for Wonder Batwoman enough that they said make it.
Yeah.
So we have a pilot order for Batwoman. Now, so far, the CW has not ordered a pilot for a superhero show and not said yes to the series.
Right. Yeah, we finally have our Batwoman coming in here. We had a great crossover with Superman. We also have some weird reverse roles with Green Arrow and Flash.
Well, that's because it's Elseworlds.
Yeah, but we also got a lot of homage to the original comic, but it didn't happen like it did in the comic.
Yeah.
Because of course, the event happening.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to start in first?
Well, this is obviously setting up for Crisis on Infinite Earths next year.
Yes.
And the whole show, if anybody didn't see it, all of the Elseworlds crossover, basically, they took and... hang on half a second. Okay. Huh. But they took and flipped the script on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Monitor shows up.
Yes. Great costume.
I don't remember the name of the character, but he's Dr. Destiny. Monitor gives him the Book of Destiny and allows him to totally rewrite the universe.
Yeah, and he has some weak skills, I feel like, with that book. He could have done something
way better. Well, he didn't realize. I don't think he had the capacity to realize what was available to be done.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like he didn't have enough imagination, because all of us know,
Mixias Pytlick.
That guy knows how to create. No. That guy knows how to have a good imagination. But anyways, Dr. Destiny, his first thing he did was, let me just switch Flash and Green Arrow. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, no, I don't think he did that.
You don't think he did?
No. Well, switching was not something he automatically did. I think that was a reaction to him playing with reality.
Mm.
That was just one of the trickle-down effect type, butterfly effect thing.
Okay.
That somehow Ollie and so for half of the first episode, you get Stephen Amell as the Flash
and then you
as Oliver Queen playing the Flash, but everybody thinks he's Barry Allen.
Yeah, then Grant Gustin becomes the Arrow.
And it's great because they are two totally different types of characters, and they acknowledge that how Green Arrow is dark and gritty and serious, and the Flash has to be light and happy and fun, or else his powers don't work right.
Right. Yeah, and it was weird because I saw how Flash was able to... I feel like Grant Gustin's Barry Allen. It was weird because they went to Earth 38. We'll get into that in a second. But when they got to the Earth of Superman and Supergirl, mm-hmm. Barry was using his powers great anyway.
Yeah.
Well, not really powers, his skills as Green Arrow good anyway. But then when he went darker, he did them better. But he was already good at it. Oliver, when he was Flash, he just sucked. Like, he just... He couldn't master those things anyway until he got to Lightheart Moves. So I felt like Grant Gustin being Arrow, he could do it either way. He could be happy about it or he could be sad about it. And maybe because he has these speedies, he has these other characters that has the arrow and bow in their hand. But as far as Flashes go, there's not really been a dark Flash unless you're evil.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it just didn't work for him. I don't know. That didn't make sense to me. But we got the return of actually them telling us Tom... Who's the new guy playing Superman?
I forget. Tyler Hoechlin.
Tyler Hoechlin is Tom Welling from Smallville.
No, actually, it wasn't. I think that was just an homage saying that you're at Smallville.
Okay, I thought they were saying, boom, here's our new guy.
I thought so,
for
too, but I did some other reading.
Oh, okay.
But what happened was, as the breach opens up for Ollie and Barry to cross to go get Kara,
mm-hmm.
you hear "Somebody Save Me," which was the Smallville theme.
Oh my god! Yeah.
So as they come through, chills. And then you get
I'm getting chills on me right now. That
you get an opening awesome. That looks very similar to Smallville.
It was Smallville. It was the same set. It was everything's just different.
It kind of I think shows us. Yeah, it was the farm from Smallville. Obviously, they didn't get all the sets the same because they weren't able to use all the things. Like
not to a T.
We didn't get to see the loft in the garage or in the barn, but that loft actually is not in that barn. Mm-hmm. So
they had to use what they had.
Yeah, but it was fun, and you got Lois Lane and Clark Kent being Lois Lane and Clark Kent.
Yeah, and to speed up a little bit, we do find out that they are going to have a baby.
Yes.
So we know Jonathan Kent is on the way. Also, we got a big part of what happened in the next episode with in that same episode, we did get Amazo, finally.
Yes, and it was the right Amazo. It wasn't the Green Arrow, the Arrow Amazo. Because remember, Amazo was the ship that Dr. Ivo was on Leon Yu.
You're right.
Remember that?
You're right. Yeah, I remember that.
No, we get the actual Dr. Ivo and Ivo's amazing robot, Amazo.
Yeah, this is what he was. I feel bad. I know it was a crossover, but I feel like they could have stretched him out way longer than what they did.
Well, Amazo each episode had its own villain.
They did. I just feel like Amazo as a character himself could always have more time spent in. But what we got is what we got.
Well, nice thing is, Amazo exists in this world now.
Yes, so he.
So
can
they
come
can
back.
Bring it back on any of the shows.
True, and then the next episode, the ending of the first Elseworlds crossover, we got to see Batwoman Ruby Rose on top of.
This was the most comic book accurate City. Costume yes. I've seen on any of the CW yes. shows ever.
Yes, she pulled off great. It's one of those things we're gonna get in Titans later too. It's funny how everybody was hating on her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this looks terrible. Oh my god, it isn't that.
It was perfect.
Not even so much it looked terrible. Just you're gonna have haters. And everyone loves her because guess what? She now has her own pilot series set up for next time, and that's going to continue on.
Exactly.
She did great. I thought Ruby Rose was amazing. And then her episode was definitely for every Batman fan should check this out.
Yes.
There was so many Easter eggs to the Batman. Now, I heard a lot of things online. I don't think this is what they were completely going for, but if you want to see it this way, I'm fine for everyone seeing this way because this way I view it. Say the Dark Knight trilogy. Say when he wasn't doing his things in the movies, but you still saw his villains, but you never saw it. There was a Riddler, maybe. Maybe there was these other villains. Maybe there was a Hugo Strange. We just never seen. Maybe there was a Mr. Freeze. But when we saw the movies, they only sold certain villains. And when he left with Catwoman, maybe that's where he's been gone this whole time. We haven't seen a Catwoman. We haven't seen Alfred.
Oh, you're thinking with the people that this is actually part of the Batman Beyond universe?
Yeah, well, not beyond, but the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight Batman Begins.
When we saw Bane's mask, that's what did it for me. Like
that was because they had it in the Warner archive, so they pulled it out and put it there.
I know, I get that, but to me, you don't do that unless you're trying to tie things in.
No. It was just an Easter egg.
That's me, and I know it's not really, but that's the way I like to think. But anyways, there was these Easter eggs to all these villains. You had a Riddler Easter egg. You had
get to
a
see...
Two-Face Easter egg.
Yeah.
You had a Victor Zsasz, I think, Easter egg, and you also had one of the creators. It had an Easter egg.
Yeah, Mark Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Was actually one of the inmates in Arkham.
And you did not see Mr. Freeze, but you saw
Nora
Mrs.
Freeze. Which is different, but this is
Elseworlds. But it made sense.
So she may be Dr. Freeze.
Well, she kept saying, where's the Freeze gun?
Yeah.
And to me, what I got from that, I heard on some YouTube video, she's in there because since she got cured, she's still a little crazy from being in that ice... whatever for so long.
Possibly.
But Mr. Freeze just couldn't come out because he has to stay ice realm. But
that whole idea
suit,
of Mr.
She
Freeze,
to freeze him out.
Well, that whole origin for Mr. Freeze with her being in the ice and stuff is only about 20 years old.
Right.
That was introduced in Batman the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. Before that, Mr. Freeze was like a second or third tier villain for Batman. It was nothing huge.
Right.
Had nothing to do with Nora or anything else.
Right.
So it's not like the traditional always been there that he was trying to save his wife.
Right. And for me, like I said, I have three theories on that. One, she's just in there because she's been going a little stir crazy because she's never been out.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband can't get out of this because he still needs the ice cold to keep him good. So she was going to free him by getting the cold gun. Two, she might just be the Mr. Freeze or Mrs. Freeze. There might
That's
not even
thinking.
Be
she's,
a Mr. Freeze.
She is. Instead of we having Mr. Freeze, in this world we have Mrs. Freeze.
And another theory of mine
or
is
Miss Freeze.
He might just be dead and gone. She went crazy and wanted to take up his mantle. There's just so many things they can go with this. That's my three theories. But basically in this, we just got introduced to Batwoman. She talked about her cousin, and I thought it was great because they had a World's Finest
yes.
tie-in.
Well, the cool thing with this was, in this, we see a Gotham Yeah. What happens when Batman's not there?
Oh, it turns into Bloodhaven. Which people thought Gotham was bad. Yeah. Bloodhaven's worse. That's what it's turning into. It
is basically on par with the Gotham we're going to talk about later on Titans.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Gotham that basically, they say the inmates running the asylum.
Right.
Well, yeah, the Gotham, there is no hope in Gotham, period. This is the darkest, most crime-ridden city the world has ever seen.
Really?
That is the Gotham we're seeing here. Didn't you take that from this? On the Elseworlds? Well, no, in Titans, you see that definitely.
You know, it was one of those things where we're seeing all of these things. It was one of those things, again, just all this comic book nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I was like, everything can be in the same world right now if we wanted it to be. But yeah, both of them
that
were
may be coming.
And it might. But what's called?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that here in a couple minutes.
In this episode, all I really got from it was we're doing what they're doing for CW, and I really liked how they kind of mix a lot of what Oliver Queen used to be. As remember, I said when I first started watching Arrow, it was like he is Green Arrow, but he's Batman with a green hood on.
Yeah.
And this one, no, that's Green Arrow. Here is Batman. We haven't seen Batman, but trust me, Ollie, you ain't no Batman.
Yeah.
So when he left, all the crime just goes to crap, which it does. But she's going to take over what we have, and then from seeing what we see in Titans and the comic books and the movies, this is the Batman we're used to seeing. We just haven't seen him yet because he's missing, and he might return. We do have a Superman. But in this
one, but Superman is not on this world.
That's what I was going to say. On
it's
this
interesting
Earth,
because there is
two
more
separate
than
ones.
Yeah, we knew that. We know at least two of the worlds in the multiverse have Batman, because the Batman we're talking about right now is on Earth One in Earth Prime.
Right.
That is where the Gotham. This is so Batwoman is on the same Earth as Flash and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Or not Green Lantern.
Not Green Lantern,
Flash
but Green Arrow.
And Green Arrow.
Well, technically, if you want to get into the Green Lantern,
we're not getting
stuff.
There yet. We're not going there yet. But actually, we got to talk. That is on episode 2 also, that reference.
Mm-hmm.
But on Earth 38, Kara and Superman do talk about how, or Kara talks about her cousin is friends with Batman.
Yeah.
And directly say Batman. It's not like they're beating around the bush. Like on Supergirl, for the last couple of years, they've made references to Batman without specifically saying Batman.
Right.
This time, she says straight up Batman.
And they have their own world's finest moment between Batwoman and Supergirl, and they're referencing, hey, our cousins are awesome, our cousins are super, our cousins are dark, and you know what, they're not here, but we can still do what we do as women and carry on this legacy, and they shake hands. So I know when they make the Batwoman series, they're going to have Supergirl and Batwoman have a crossover.
At some point, yes.
They're world's finest.
Well, but also in that same second episode, we do get John Wesley Shipp in the original Flash, and he looks awesome. I mean, I know the suit is padded, but it was awesome to see the 90s Flash in the costume fighting alongside our current heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great because he comes into Argus with the other heroes and sees John Diggle sitting there.
Yeah.
And he asks, he's like, John, where's your ring?
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing taking the ring off?
Anybody who missed that is a reference that, in John Wesley Shipp's universe, John Diggle is a John Stewart.
Stewart, right.
And there's been a theory a long time ago. I don't know if it's ever been confirmed that John's middle name is Stewart. So he would be John Stewart Diggle.
Okay.
Maybe in that world, he's John Diggle Stewart.
Let me
know.
Diggle, because I'm pretty sure his real name is S, and that stands for Stewart. And I'm like, oh, huh.
That would be interesting that there is a John Stewart in the multiverse.
As we have the power of the internet.
Yes.
Let's see.
So, do you find it yet? Nope,
I'm looking
not yet.
Right now, it's coming up. This is their DC wiki. This goes a little slow sometimes. Okay.
That's the comic book character.
Maybe this was just referencing the show, but let me click John Diggle, which I'm doing. Continue on with everything else that happened in there.
Well, we're going to getting into episode 3 was basically wrapping up the actual Elseworld storyline. And, we do have a big addition.
I'm sorry, it's literally John Thomas Diggle is his middle name, so.
Okay.
That part didn't
work. That's in the comic books.
This is in the show.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. So, it could be, because you got to remember that John Wesley Shipp, the body there has multiple names in the multiverse.
True.
Because he is Henry Allen.
He's Henry Allen.
He's Barry Allen.
And
he's
Zoom. The original. No, he's not Zoom.
Oh, no, he's Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick, yeah.
So it's like that's the same person as three different people depending on what world he's on.
Exactly. So
John Stewart would be John Diggle here.
And then I guess we should probably do a wrap up for a minute, but I love everything. We can talk about this whole 3
We got
to
get to
hours.
What this is leading to in our speculation about the S. But
and this
before we do, in this second issue, before we get to the third episode, we do get the introduction to a new character in Gotham named the Psycho Pirate.
Yeah,
which will lead into what's coming later.
Right, and that's not when Diggle did. Diggle. The funny thing was, I'm like, do you guys need Batman? Diggle's just beat up all of these criminals that were coming out. Remember, they were all just coming out of their cells, and he's just like, boom, boom. I'm like, Diggle, you might just want to dress up as a bat. You just dressed up as the Arrow, so you might want to do that.
Yeah. Well, we get into the third episode, and Dr. Destiny has now figured out, wait a minute, let me redo this again, and he's turned himself into Superman. And that's why you see Tyler Hoechlin in the black Superman suit, because he is Superman in his own mind.
Right. Now
and this is a guy who's never met Superman. He doesn't know anything about Superman except for read in the book that this guy exists somewhere.
Right. And he, just because he's Superman, everyone wants to be like him. But this time, as you said, we finally got the black suit, but it was a little different. And mm-hmm. he also turned Barry and Ollie. They didn't have their powers back, but they became the not Tornado Twins. I don't know what I was going to say. Tornado Twins.
Yeah, the Trigger Twins.
Trigger Twins, yes.
Which is in multiple time frames in DC. They, I believe, were villains in Jonah Hex
comics. Like, they were Western villains. And then in new ones, they just became these
later
gangsters.
On, I think with the Outlaws or something.
Yeah.
They,
but
they were brought up.
Then everyone's weird because we talked about this before. Deathstroke's son, Jericho.
Isn't that Jericho?
That was Jericho.
Okay.
They're making him like Ravager. But let me look this up.
Did they call? Was his name Joseph in this? I don't remember.
Joseph,
when
I thought was Jericho.
When was this guy in Arrow before? Was it one of the seasons earlier?
Six.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was doing the same thing and took the Mercury like Deathstroke did. And he's like, son, this is not what you want to do. Let's look here. Joseph William Well. Yeah, that's Jericho. But they're characterizing him as
in the show,
Ravager.
Was it him?
Yeah, let me hold on one second.
Yeah, we know that scroll Jericho down. Is Deathstroke's son.
I mean, it's the same name, so I would assume.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, the same one. Yeah, that's the same guy.
Huh.
I think they're doing that they did with Tim Drake and Jason Todd for the animated Batman series. It was kind of like that was Tim Drake, but his personality was really Jason Todd. So they're doing a mixture because this is definitely Jericho's name. But he's acting more like Ravager.
But they do come back. They defeat Dr. Destiny. We need to get ahead to actually the setup. We find out that Oliver, to defeat, has to actually make a deal with the Monitor.
Yeah.
And we find out the Monitor is doing this to these worlds and destroying worlds to find heroes that are worthy to fight someone who is coming.
Yeah.
Now, we know in DC Comics from the 80s, the Monitor showed up as a precursor to the Anti-Monitor.
Right.
Which brings about the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
And we do know that the final scene of this book has the Psycho Pirate, which is the person who says this in the original trade, or the original stories, actually says, worlds will live. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's worlds will live, worlds will die, and nothing will ever be the same, or something like that.
Something like that.
He says this
he
in
says
the
DC Universe will never be the same.
Or the universe will never be the same, but it's the exact lines that start.
And it was John
Crisis
Deegan,
on Infinite
by the way.
Earths. Yeah, that's the villain.
The villain.
But
Psycho.
That is the exact lines that Dr. start Destiny. Crisis on Infinite Earths from the 80s, and it ends this crossover series. So my theory is that the second half of this season is going to all be leading. Everything that happens in it is going to be leading up to Crisis for next year, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering. We've not heard that Arrow has been renewed yet.
Mm-mm.
And I have a feeling Arrow's going to – all these shows will be renewed until they say otherwise.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, but I don't think we're going to get Arrow next year. We
Sadly.
Have the green light for
and
Batwoman.
And here's a theory.
And Batwoman – or for Batwoman Pilot. And Batwoman is a an Arrow-style show.
Right.
It's going to be dark and gritty and more somewhat realistic. But I'm thinking they're going to move the crossover from December to October and start the season off with Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
End Green Arrow, and let Batwoman start off after that, but it'll allow them to bring, if they want to, they can bring Black Lightning into the main DC Earth Prime universe of this. They can bring Supergirl into the Earth Prime universe and actually make one universe going forward and then split the multiverse later.
They could.
But they can bring everything together all at once, and you start the season with that. Because it would be weird going half the season and finishing on, because Crisis changes everything.
Yeah,
there's
they
no
do.
Way you
that's
can do it without
the whole
that.
Point of Crisis. And oh,
you can't do Crisis on Infinite Earths. Everything changes, and then put it back together, and it goes back to normal.
And that was the thing with Elseworlds. I really like this. Is just a little Easter egg. I don't know if anybody knows. Remember how Mondra was telling Ollie the deal? He's like, the reason why he made that deal. He's like, look, no one's ever came to you, especially human, has never came to you and demanded what they want. He's like, well, your friends are going to die because they have to sacrifice themselves.
Yeah.
He's like, who? Kara and Flash.
Well, in the original Crisis on Infinite Earths,
they
Barry
both
Allen
die.
And Kara Zor-El
die
in Crisis
there.
On Infinite
and
Earths.
And when it happened, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. But Ollie's like, not this time. It's not happening.
Yeah,
not in this universe.
Yeah, the big theory is that Ollie will not make it out of Crisis.
And I think that's why they're probably going to cancel Arrow. I mean,
it's not canceled. They'll end the show.
Just end it. That's going to suck. Well, that happens.
Because you got to think, also, in the flash forwards, we're getting an Arrow this season.
Yeah.
Oliver's been gone for years.
Wait, when does that happen?
Think about it.
Wait, no, when does that happen?
The flash forwards have been probably 20 years in the future from now.
Yeah.
And Oliver has been off the scene for years and years and years.
Yeah, but he came back with, like, just a stubbed arm. Remember, he had, like, no arm from...
not in the future.
No.
Ollie didn't. Roy is the one he's talking to all the time.
Oh, no, I was thinking before he had the flashpoint. Oh, you're right. No, you're right. Oh,
Oliver's
man.
Not been there.
Yeah, he hasn't.
The city has gone nuts at this point.
Yeah, because there's no Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What else? We also see that in Flash, Nora comes from a future where Barry has been gone for 20 years.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So R.
Now the
P.
thing
Ollie.
Is,
R.I.P. Ollie.
The way this is
I didn't
set
think
up,
about that much.
Flash could, if Kenan Lonsdale wanted to come back, they could actually continue Flash and let Wally become Flash.
Yeah.
You could do that. That's not that difficult. But they're not, I don't think they're going to do that. But yeah, it looks like Ollie may not make it out of Crisis, but we will find out in about a year.
We will. It'll be a minute, and that's too long for me to wait.
But the cool thing is, we can, from now we know where they're going. So we can watch stuff and look for all these clues and stuff. We're going to start dissecting every word of dialogue. You know we are.
Right. Oh, yeah. Of course, they defeat Dr. Destiny, and the only one that really knows how to use it is Tyler Hoechlin's Superman because he's dealt with it before.
Yeah, he's dealt with things like this.
Right. And it's funny because he doesn't use magic. Magic hurts him, but he can use it.
Looks like it.
But he can't. It hurts him, and that's always been said. Superman's weakness is magic, but it's never said he can't use it. Like,
yeah.
If it's something he needs to hold, he can hold something. Now, if it's bad for him, of course it would hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can use a book or whatever, and he says he dealt with it before, he was the only one to really use it, he puts the world back to what it was. And at the very end of this whole episode, everything goes back to normal. They go back to their Earths. But Psycho Pirate is across the room from Dr. Destiny, which now has his Dr. Destiny face.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, he looks like a skeleton, trying to make him look like Skeletor. And then Psycho Pirate then there says, which is weird, because Psycho Pirate was in the Supergirl universe, but they took him back to their universe.
No,
their
he
world.
Was in...
Gotham.
Yeah, he was in Gotham, which is on Earth 1.
Oh, wow, crap, sorry. You're right. I got that a little mixed up. He goes there. I got that totally mixed up, sorry. But while he's in there, then he says the quote that you said before, and it's leading into Crisis on
yes,
Infinite
Yes, and
Earth.
We actually see a title card that says Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Now, I don't know how you feel about this. I haven't talked to you about this yet. I know they're adding Black Lightning in there. I know they are.
I don't
are.
Know if they are or not.
I think they are. Because they should. I mean, it's all these worlds, but will they add Titans? Will they add Swamp Thing? Will they
I
add
don't know
all
about
these?
That one.
Will there be references? They don't even have to add them, but will it be references to what we're getting
well,
on?
Well, we have got a Swamp Thing reference
movies,
in Legends
to the
of Tomorrow.
Animated series. To
we
the
got
old
a,
shows.
We got a Swamp
things.
Thing reference in Crisis on or on Legends of Tomorrow, but it wasn't the Swamp Thing, I think, that we're getting on the universe. Because remember, they talk about John Constantine has a friend in the Swamp.
Yeah. Real quick. I'll wait to this on Titans. One of the characters we've been talking about on this show, just remind me, will be in Titans. I'm
okay.
Reading up on this. He will be in Titans.
Well, actually, we're going to get... Let's get to Titans.
Okay.
The Titans Season 2-1 is over, and it ended in a place I wasn't really expecting. But we did get confirmation that actually we had 11 episodes.
Yeah.
But number 12 was supposed to be there, and I think they filmed it,
mm-hmm.
but they decided not to put
to
it
use
out.
It. Yeah, there was two episodes that they took out.
Because they liked the cliffhanger of the season of episode 11, and they added a tag to the end, which you didn't know about. Because I had to call you and ask you if you watched after the credits.
Oh, yeah. That was not expected at all. Not
at
all. I was like,
we'll get to
that
in a
minute. I feel like it's a little early, but we're watching Young Justice, which we're going to get into, too.
But Titans was awesome. It was, like we've said on the show here, it was darker than I expected
and
grittier. And actually, without that episode 12, we don't see the team come together at the end of it.
No, we don't.
We don't see them in their costumes like we're supposed to.
Which we were supposed to.
But a lot of that's going to be repurposed and put into the premiere of season 2.
Now, the whole season overall, I loved and enjoyed. There's a lot of hate out there. There was a lot of hate for the show, but I've been on websites that give their top 10 TV series of 2018. Mm-hmm. I've been on YouTube where the people give their list. This has literally been on a couple. There's at least been five lists I've seen where Titans has been one of the best shows of 2018. Yeah. I'm like, hey,
if people give them a chance, they're all of a sudden they
exactly.
like it.
Exactly. But the wrap up of what happened in the last episode. We did get Hawk and Dove's origin. And I will say there's only one thing about the Titans show I want them to fix. And this is not me hating. This is not me being a little critic. But it's not bad. I enjoyed... my favorite episodes of this whole season was the ones when the Titans weren't on there.
Yeah.
That was the thing that I didn't like.
Your two favorite episodes were Hawk and Dove?
Yeah. No, it was Hawk and Dove and Doom Patrol. And even if I had to give a number three, it probably would be the last episode that they had. I don't think that was a good season finale, but I think that was a great episode because, like, this is what goes on in Dick Grayson's mind.
Yeah, that's the problem with using the one they used for the finale was it really didn't wrap anything up.
No, and I was like, this was a good episode. I thought that was one of the best episodes.
It was a great episode.
There was three episodes, and that was one of my top three. But I was like, it's the ending? I was like, wait a minute, this is the ending? Scratch my head. But
we did see some stuff that we never thought we would see on
like
Troia. TV. Yeah.
Starfire's origin, asking her being an alien. I hope in the next scene they...
And I was... speaking of Troy, when we get to Young Justice, I gotta talk about that, because I was shocked on
some of
that
stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I was like...
Keep going, though.
And you got my mind all fickled up. My brain now thinking of Young Justice.
Television in general and the small screen is blowing up DC right now.
Yeah. Trigon, I want... I guess... I don't know if they
we will. I think we will see... The real Trigon.
A demon. He doesn't have to be big. Just give me a demon.
Well, you gotta think, even in the comic books and stuff, he can take human form.
Oh, of course he can. I just want to see him as a demon, personally.
You don't introduce him that way.
No, you don't.
Because
there are
people who are watching this that never read the books.
True.
Never saw the cartoons.
True.
So there, because you gotta think, this next week on January 17th, Titans premieres on Netflix everywhere outside of the U.S.
Right.
So a lot of those people, some people out there are going to see it on Netflix and say, hey, Robin's in this.
Right.
They've never seen Titans. They have no idea who any of these characters are.
Right.
So when they see Trigon, they just know, hey, he's Raven's father. They're not going to know who Trigon is.
And I loved at the very ending
of
this. Because
they never actually say Trigon, I don't think.
Right. But as a series overall, I would definitely give this, for me, I'd give it like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. They need to fix... certain things, and you were right, give it a chance. It was dark at the very beginning. I'm like, why is everything dark? By time we got to episode 6, I want to say.
It's still tonally dark,
color-wise. But it made more sense why.
Yeah, it's getting there.
They did that.
But you see, on the last episode, when Dick is in all happy, and he's in his happy place, it's not as dark.
No, that I saw that, I was like, that's what those show links look like.
But then you see Gotham.
But that made sense. That made perfect sense.
A Gotham with a Batman who kills at this point.
See, here's the thing. Gotham
and they're showing Gotham is the den of decadence that you at some point think it was.
Right, and that's my whole point. I kept saying Gotham should be dark. I want Gotham to be dark. Everything else around there should not be dark. That was my personal opinion. But when his head, everything looks bright, and I'm like, well, as a fan, that's what I think you should keep the show on. Just saying, hey, guys, if you're listening, keep that in mind.
We'll get there.
But I loved how at the very end of that, Dick Grayson was being taken over by Trigon being this dark thing, because have you ever read the original Titan, not original Titans, but the new Teen Titans run?
I've read some of it.
Do you
not
read
all of it yet?
Five issues or six?
I read the first two or three. I have it in trade. I have to read it. I have to sit down and read it.
Do you remember how when Trigon took their brains over?
I've not got that far.
Okay. Spoiler, if they don't mind. What you saw with Dick Grayson.
It's 30 years old.
Spoiler still. It can be if you haven't read it. But in all their heads, when it's Wally West, it's Cyborg, it's Beast Boy, it's Don Troy, and it's Dick Grayson. They all have these... Did I say Starfire, too? Oh, Starfire, too. Anyways, all of them have these visions of them in their darkest time. And it's like Trigon's trying to take over their brain. He's like, here's the dark moment of you, the dark moment of you, the dark moment of you. And you got to fight your dark moment. And that happened even in the animated series. They had to fight their dark version of themselves.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing in this. I'm like, oh, that's actually paying homage. That's what happened in the comics. But they only focus on Dick Grayson instead of the other characters, which they might do by next season. I don't know. But as much stuff, I guess what I'm trying to say, that people talked about the show and all the crap they got, the show was perfect. I had no idea. I had more fun with this one season than I had all of Arrow.
Yeah,
personally,
it had a lot of stuff that you never thought you'd ever see on TV.
It just stuck really more close to my opinion of what they are in the comics.
Yeah,
like
the characters were perfect.
Yeah,
and
Starfire was perfect,
and they changed the story enough that it's something new.
Yeah, and Beast Boy was perfect. One criticism I have for Beast Boy, I am hoping he untaps it. I want to see him become more animal-like.
He will,
but that was Beast Boy. I mean, he was Beast Boy. Starfire, was Starfire. Dick Grayson was... Right, everybody was who they need to be. The Talking Dove, everything fit. I felt like I was reading the book on screen.
Jason Todd was Jason Todd. Oh my god,
that was purely... He was probably the best character, actually. Yeah. Like, that... He's a little punk kid, and you're like, God, you're gonna die one day, you're gonna become more of a badass. Like, I loved him. I the whole show, guys, out of everything that happened, is definitely getting an 8 point something out of 10.
Yeah.
That was a great series. I loved Titans, and I was kind of mad when it went off. I was like, no, now what am I going to do with my Fridays?
Well, what you're going to do with your Fridays is watch three episodes of Young Justice.
Yes.
Which, over the time we've had off, I actually took the time and sat down and watched the first two seasons of Young Justice.
You spent a lot more time.
I forgot how much they put into those. There are cameos from everybody.
That's why when you told me at work, you're like, I didn't know it was that many. I was like, dude, it was literally like you were reading the comic, because you had cameos from the Justice League. You had cameos from
everybody
the Outsiders.
Everybody was in this book.
Yeah, like, it was. They were already there.
In these series.
Yeah, they were already there.
It's, it's showing this is a larger DC universe. It is in watching some of the enhanced episodes.
Yeah.
Especially, there's three different types of enhanced episodes they have with DC Universe.
Yeah.
How many of them have you watched?
I just watched a couple, like literally just like a handful.
The first two episodes of Young Justice are done in, I think in the enhanced episodes, it's officially episode 1 and 4 or 1 and 3. There's three types of ones they do. One is actually like a director's commentary. It's the two producers,
that's the ones
the
I heard.
Character designer, the and the actor who plays Wally West.
Right.
Talking about the show and how they designed it and things like that. The next one they have is their super fans. And it's basically they took
I didn't see that.
Like three or four sets of two of people just commenting on the show while they're doing it. And you see that they bring them up in the corner as they're making a comment or something about what they're watching.
Yeah, put them
so
in the
it has nothing to
screen.
Do with actually behind the scenes or how it works. It's just opinions. What they're seeing and their opinion on what they're watching.
Okay. I didn't know.
Actually, Marquina McCardle or one of the hosts of DC Universe or DC Daily is one of the in with it.
Hmm.
And then the third one was Sam Humphries. I forget who the other two are. It's three comic book writers and artists doing a director's commentary style with pop-up video stuff happening. So, but they also didn't have any of the behind the scenes on what there was going on. So it's like myself personally, I'd rather do the director's commentary style for all of them so that you actually get the behind the scenes stories of why did we make this choice? Why did we make that choice?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did not know that Calderon was created for Young Justice TV series.
Really?
He was created for the show. He was not introduced in the comics till after he was on the show.
Huh. Google.
And that's interesting, because when you do get into season three, now we're going to start spoiling season three a little bit.
That's what I'm going to say real quick before we get fully into Young Justice. The thing about Titans, I was going to say, Jericho will be in Titans as well.
Okay.
Not the same actor, I doubt it, but he will be.
Yeah. Well, you kind of can't do an early Titans without having Jericho in there. He was the first one to join the team after it started, wasn't it?
Sorry, I know we're going back to this once again. Teen Titans, at the very end of Titans, we didn't really talk about the Superboy and the Crypto being at the very, very end of that. And that led us into Titans. And it was kind of – I felt like with what happened with Elseworlds, they list into the Batman world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going to take our season – finale, not season finale, season break. Then let's show you Titans, and let's give you what Dick Grayson sees Gotham as. And then when that episode is over, let's show you what happens with Superboy.
Yeah.
And it was like,
we do see
we're getting
Connor
out of Young
Kent.
Justice, and they're just kind of flowing perfectly
the,
there.
The Connor Kent origin from the Young Justice TV series cartoon in live action at the end of Titans.
Yeah.
Because it is an underground cloning facility. Instead of being Project KR, which it was in the Young Justice series, it's Project 13. But it shows that it is Cadmus Labs. They have the cloned Superboy there that breaks out. And he also finds his puppy dog.
Crypto.
And it is, and I think it says Crypto right on the cage or on the vial.
It does. No, that's totally Crypto.
So we have Crypto and Superboy coming to season two of Titans.
Yeah.
Now this is, you have to watch episode 11 after the credits.
Right.
Like you watched it at work off and on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you, and you, and this is, they didn't have any post-credit scenes for any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't know about that. I watched it that night.
I had no idea.
As soon as we watched, Vicky and I watched it, I'm like, Verdon didn't watch the credits.
I knew this
because I didn't know your reaction.
I knew
you didn't react right.
No, I was like,
you're like, it was an okay show and that was it.
I was like, because it was weird to be a season finale. And
I sent
you
a text that said, you didn't watch the end of the credits, did you?
I was like, no.
And you're like, You didn't answer back. And then all of a sudden I went, holy crap, holy crap.
Yeah, I was like, dude, we have Superboy. Because I've been asking before the comics came, I'm like, where's been my Jonathan Kent? Not Jonathan, I'm sorry. Where's been my Connor Kent? Where's my Connor Kent?
See, for me, Connor Kent's not that big of a character because I was reading comics before he was created.
I can't tell you when I got, like I said,
when I stopped reading comics for a while, it was before he became the Superboy that you guys know.
Yeah, like when I first started reading.
He was still pretty much a jerk.
Yeah, when I first like weekly start like reading comics, it was the
More Young Justice style.
Oh yeah. No, it cartoon style, but not Young Justice comic book style. But it was the one we know from Young Justice animated series.
Yeah.
He was the blue jeans wearing, black t-shirt, red S on my chest, no one understands me, teenager.
Yeah.
And that's my Connor Kent.
Did he still have the telekinesis and stuff?
It's so weird.
Because in Young Justice, he's got the strength and vulnerability and can jump a long ways.
And that's... That's basically how he was in here, and I think they were basically trying to say his telekinesis helped him put all the strength of everything into Superman, but they don't really use it like that. It was confusing. I can't get into that right now. But the way I read it, it was he is Superboy, or he's Superman, but as a teenager without all of the powers being fully out there. That's the way I interpreted it. But yeah, we got that, and now we can get on to Young Justice.
Yeah. It's cool because season three started. This is going to be spoilers.
Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't seen this,
they take another 5-year jump.
Yeah, and everyone's older.
Yes.
People are getting married and engaged.
The interesting thing is, Calderon is now Aquaman.
Yeah. Yeah. He has.
Which we've not gotten an explanation yet.
No.
Oh, but before we get that, one thing, after watching both seasons of Green Arrow or Young Justice, one thing I want to know, they still have not explained how Artemis and Ollie hooked up. Because in that third episode...
Yeah, I was like...
In your third episode of Young Justice, Oliver shows up with his quote-unquote niece, which we find out is not.
Yeah.
And she joins the team, and then just from there, she's part of the team.
Team.
Where does she come from? We know her backstory, who she is. She's our Sportsmaster's daughter, Huntress's daughter, sister of Cheshire.
Yeah.
But we don't know anything about how she hooked up with Oliver or why he put her on this team.
Yeah, but she wakes up.
And after two seasons, we still don't know why she's on this team.
But she wakes up, she's in the upstairs, and she's hugging the dog, and she looks on her mantle, and there's a picture of her and Wally. That we saw before.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
that's the beginning of
Wally's
this show,
still
yes.
dead. And then she goes downstairs and there's a red-haired, fully red-head bearded Roy Harper and
a baby.
Dick Grayson. And a baby. And Dick Grayson knocks on the door like,
Vicky
hey.
Actually came
I'm
up
like,
with a good one on this.
Whoa,
wait a minute. Vicky came
happened?
Up with a good one on this. I'm thinking what it is, because you got to remember in season two, Roy and Cheshire were married and they have a daughter.
Then that's their.
I'm thinking what it is something happened to Cheshire in these years.
Mm.
And that because she woke up alone, I think she's living with Roy, and helping raise the daughter.
But they're not hooked.
They're
up
not together.
Nothing. They're just. Being
they're not together.
I can respect
as daddy
that
and aunt.
I can respect that a lot more. That's happened in every
and actually
family.
It looks
like, if
and
you
actually
need a babysitter,
makes
who do you call?
Yeah,
your family member.
A lot of times, family lives
together. True. Hey,
and if they both
true.
Had
that's
a major
wrong.
Loss,
yeah.
Because when she comes downstairs, he's not treating her
like
they're
a
together,
wife or girlfriend or whatever. No. Oh, my God. I got to finish the show, man. Hurry up. Drop these daily so I can see them. Don't drop them weekly.
Well, we only get half the season.
True.
Because Doom Patrol starts up in February.
But
the cool thing is we do get to see it was set up in season two. Lex Luthor is the Secretary General of the...
I'm sorry.
What?
All I can think about was, like, 4 years ago when people said Trump was getting the White House, a lot of comic book fans kept saying... It's not Trump in the White House. It's Lex Luthor in the White House.
He's already been in the White House in comics.
I know. That's the point. That's what I'm saying. So when it was happening, I heard a lot of comic book nerds online, me like saying, oh, that's
we're
just
not,
Lex
we're,
Luthor.
We're not going to get into
we're
this.
We're not. But
keep
when
going.
I saw that, all I could do is laugh at the memes. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're doing it. Anyways.
But he is the Chancellor of the United Nations.
Right.
But some of the
characters.
Ambassadors are, we have Garth.
From
Tempest.
The Aqualad, the original Aqualad.
Yes, Tempest is the
ambassador
from
Atlantis.
Atlantis.
And we'll get into that next.
Themyscira has an ambassador in the Green, and it is, and they say Troia on screen, which we
I
know
them, like,
is Donna
Troy. We just saw you in Titans. I love this DC universe. Yeah, she's the one speaking of how humans don't need this because mm-hmm. they're not responsible, but we are. And then someone makes the argument, well, if you are, then aren't you just vigilantes? Da, da. But just seeing Donna Troy on there, I'm like, we just saw in Titans. We see in this, the whole copyright stuff has definitely been lifted because they knew they wanted to use her for decades, but they couldn't. And I only got to see...
That's never been answered exactly what... Because I've heard 15 different stories on why they never used her.
I thought it was a copyright issue.
I don't know. It had something to do with her origin or how she was actually created or something.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was. That's why I fixed in the comics saying, hey, you weren't really... Mm-hmm. Anyways, the whole point of this, I only got to episode 2. I started episode 3 and I was like 10 minutes in. I didn't finish it, but...
We are getting 3 a week for the next, I think, 4 weeks.
Right, but give you a
rundown. Which will give us the first 12 episodes.
Tara gets kidnapped. Tara's brother, Geo-Force, that's what we call him in comic books, is now looking for his sister. Mm-hmm. And he thinks
and they have
he
another
has the
brother.
Metahuman gene. And he has another brother, which is, spoiler,
now the king.
Yeah. Bad guy.
No, he is. No, well, not yet. Not in the show, he isn't. His uncle was the
uncle,
bad guy.
Sorry, uncle. Uncle is, not brother. Sorry about that. They have another brother. Don't know who he is. I never heard of him in comics. Maybe I just don't have that memory.
He's maybe new for this. I didn't know Tara was like Princess of Markovia. I think that's before this.
I don't know if it was... I don't know. I don't know if they just put that in there. Did she always just, left? I don't know. But we see Black Lightning struggling with the death of a 14-year-old girl.
He does have 2 young daughters.
He does.
And he's married, and his wife, the wife is the same name as in the TV series, Lynn.
Yeah.
But she was Lynn Stewart.
Yeah.
John's sister.
Yeah, I was like.
Which is awesome.
Oh!
Now, we know John Stewart's in this already.
Yeah, we do. So. We saw him in the last season. So he's dealing with the struggle of killing a teenager by accident because they got formed into a metahuman monster that was actually called Plasmus.
Yes.
Which we've seen Plasmus for in the Teen Titans show and comics.
This has been a villain off and on for a lot of different shows.
But he looks completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, completely different. Which is not the first character they did that to. And we noticed that the Justice League is breaking up. They and Young Justice, there's some members that want to go off on their own. They don't want to be
Well, we see Batman... And some of the other ones have left the Justice League, so we know this is Young Justice outsiders. And Batman has taken a bunch of people to work outside of the Justice
because
League.
Because he's the one that created the outsiders. Yeah. I loved how it was him and Ollie that were the first two that was like,
well,
that,
and also,
peace.
We do get a new character in here of Oracle. Now, because in the very beginning we get to see Barbara
Batgirl
Gordon.
And her
The first scene of this is... the last scene of Young Justice season 2.
Oh.
And then it jumps ahead 5 years.
I didn't catch that.
So in that 5 year jump.
I did not catch that.
In that 5 year jump, does Batgirl get shot and becomes Oracle?
I'm assuming so. I did not know that. I thought she was just like, I won't be out there, but I'll be here. Oh. Then I'm pretty sure
if
that's
if you notice
what it is.
She's not, you don't see her on the watchtower after that.
You hear her in his earpiece. Then I'm gonna say you're right.
And we also Superboy. At some point I wanna know if they reference Jason. Because in the first 5 year jump, I think it is 5 years. Yeah, because they went from basically being 13 to like 18, and you go from Dick Grayson being Robin to Nightwing, and you get Tim Drake.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, was Jason in the middle there somewhere?
Could be.
Because if you watch Young Justice season 2,
oh no, he was. No,
Tim
he was.
Is still new,
but he was on the mantelpiece. So yeah,
was he?
Yeah, remember he was in the holographic mantelpiece of Heroes We Lost.
Okay.
Jason Todd was there.
Yes, so yes. There was a Robin there.
That was Jason Todd. They're probably mentioned. I don't know if we're ever going to see a scene of it. But
No. We're not going to see a scene of it unless that may be in the Batman. That's
it might
starting.
Be, but also they're on a streaming service. Yeah. They can do whatever they want. But you see McGann and Superboy are now engaged.
And if you have DC Universe, there is a two-chapter Young Justice prequel comic for this, for season 3. It actually goes into how the two of them are back together and good again.
Trying to think.
Read that.
That's fine. That's good. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm thinking Geo-Force. Oh, I love
it. Is available for you elsewhere too.
One thing now you're gonna have to pick up because I haven't finished it. But Beast Boy is literally his comic origins.
Yes,
because when he was shown.
No.
Yeah.
Because in this, he's Martian blood is what gave him the change in him. Remember?
Is that what it is?
In season 2, they find or no? In season 1 of Young Justice, they find his mom and him. His mom was the original actress who played Megan in Hello, Megan. And then they're in Africa, and he gets some kind of disease or something where he needs a blood transfusion.
Right.
And McGann having Martian blood, it can morph to whatever they need it to be.
Oh,
so he gets a Martian blood and transfusion. That's why he's always calling McGann sister.
Oh, I thought it was because she was
that making sense now?
That's making sense. Okay, well.
See, that's what happens when you don't rewatch through
the whole thing.
Because this
after
was
five, six years ago. Well,
that's why I rewatched them all.
Yeah, it was like 2011 when it first came, I think.
That's why Beast Boy calls her sister and stuff, is because by blood, they're brother sister.
Right. Well, what I was trying to say is when he was on that show, the Star Trek parody.
Yes.
Thing.
That and, well, that is yes.
That's from
he
the
actually is now an actor in Hollywood,
and that happened from a comic before he joined the team. He's like, yes. I'm just an actor, guys. I play on this sci-fi show, and I just transform. But I'm they're like, oh, how's the scene? How they do that with whatever special effects? He's like, it's not special effects. I literally just can turn into whatever animal.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. They go over to Russia. Isn't it Russia?
Bialya.
No. Bialya.
No, Bialya, because that's Queen Bee. Markovia.
Markovia.
Originally, I think it is. The first place he goes is... the whole idea behind this season is metahuman trafficking.
Right.
Some planets outside of ours are actually buying metahumans to turn them into weapons.
Right.
Because Earth has a bunch of metahumans.
Exactly, and that's what happens there, and we're only in episode 3, and all I got from there was just they kidnap Superboy and Geo-Force. Looked like they're transforming Geo-Force, at least where he can bring out his metahuman DNA.
Yeah, they were actually trying to turn him into a metahuman, because he has a metahuman gene, but
it's not
it takes trauma to activate it.
Sounds like a little bit something I saw from Deadpool, too. Or Deadpool. But yeah, that's as far as I got.
Yeah, so we will let you know more as we go. So we're probably not going to cover this every week like we have some of the other stuff, because once we get back into this, we're going to be having news and everything else.
Exactly.
And there are plenty of podcasts that cover this stuff weekly. So, and also, if you have DC Universe and you're watching this, you can see it on DC Daily. Mm-hmm. We'll have a weekly show that, or at least one of their weekly shows will be talking about this like they did for Titans. Did you watch any of those Titans wrap-ups on the Monday after?
The DC when they did behind the scenes?
Yeah. Well, not just behind the scenes. They had... on their talk section of DC Daily.
Oh, no.
Where
the
cast of DC Daily would sit there and actually talk about all the stuff that happened. It was like a after show, but it was on Monday instead of Friday night.
Yeah, I didn't see those.
Well, we'll get to that. And there's if it's anything like the last two seasons of Young Justice, it is going to be nuts every episode.
But let's get into a little bit more of DC Service.
We got
some Swamp Thing?
Yeah, a little bit of casting for Swamp Thing. Now, some of these we're going to get more into our standard style stuff. This is just a couple quick hits. And why don't you get the Swamp Thing news? It's just a real quick one. We have a new character coming. And this is not new news, because like I said, we've taken some time off.
Well,
but we're still got to hit it.
There's been an actor, you're probably going to tell me with this name.
You can't pronounce that name? He's only been...
Oh, no, I was going to say what he's played in.
Oh.
Now, this is a stuntman turn star, I'm saying here.
I don't remember him ever being a stuntman, but maybe he was before he did Beverly Hills 90210.
But they said Daniel Casillas became semi-famous for playing a demonic blue devil. The character. I'm just letting everybody know
Yeah. No, well, that, if you've been reading Justice League Dark,
mm-hmm.
you get some of the backstory of Blue Devil.
And,
where he was a stuntman who, got cursed or something?
Yes, but now, 8 years later, Cassidy finds himself living his days as a infamous Blue Devil, literally. Former flame and consists of his destiny. But the actor that has been now, as you guys know, Blue Devil, he's been casted in Swamp Thing, and he's going to be played by actor Ian Ziering.
Ian Ziering,
thank you. He played in Sharknado and Beverly Hills 9.
He was the star of all the Sharknado movies. And he was one of the stars of Beverly Hills 90210 from the beginning all the way to the end.
Sharknado movies, man. I'm sorry.
Those were awesome movies. You can't.
Awesome
don't, there's no casting of shade on the Sharknado movies.
Awesome wouldn't be a word I would use. Is all I'm saying. they were fun, but I would not use awesome. But he's been casted as Blue Devil in Swamp Thing, which to me is just going to tie up. If they want to make it Justice League Dark, don't make a movie. Make a TV show. Looks like Titans. Titans was back in the day supposed to be a movie, but they said let's. Some things, there's so many characters in there, mm-hmm. you can't make a movie in Russia. You gotta make a TV show.
Well, you can make a movie, you just have to choose what you can put in it.
So make a TV show.
Yeah, that's why we're doing why Swamp Thing is doing a TV series.
Exactly. So Swamp Thing has a little bit of casting there, and there's a little bit more cast news.
Yeah. Well, we know that Doom Patrol is coming up next.
Oh, yes, and we saw a promo for that,
we did see a promo for that, which was awesome looking.
Which is still, I'm confused, why is Cyborg...
I don't know. Because they wanted to get Cyborg on screen again?
Yeah, Robot Man, though.
I don't know.
That's the one thing about the whole thing. I'm like, if he's on other TV show...
Robot Man is a cyborg, isn't he?
Yeah. That's why I'm like...
We'll find out.
Once again, I'm scratching my head. I'm like...
You gotta think Jeff Johns is helping develop this, so we'll see.
But we'll see him on Titans. They said they're gonna put him on Titans.
Jeff Johns is also the guy that put Cyborg in the Justice League.
Well, on that note, I have nothing else to say.
But, so we know next up on DC Universe in February is Swamp Thing. Or not Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
As soon as that's done, that should be about 2 months, like Titans was. So that's going to be February, March, I believe. I believe in April we're getting the second half of Young Justice. So the back half of it.
Yeah.
And then we're getting Swamp Thing, which you've just talked about there. And then coming into summer, we're getting Stargirl. And we're getting more and more information as this goes, as stuff is getting cast, that this is going to be have the JSA in it. We know this for a fact.
Yeah.
Because we had casting news over the last month of Our Man, Rex Tyler, Our Man. Who else?
Wildcat.
Starman, which is Stargirl's father.
Yeah, he's being portrayed
by Ted Grant's Wildcat.
Yeah, but the weird thing is Starman. I'll get to the casting here in a second. That's really weird.
Well, we see that first up is Lou Ferrigno Jr., which I didn't even know was acting, is actually playing Rex Tyler, the Golden Age Our Man.
Yeah.
Now, he was a founding... All three of these guys are members of the... all three of these guys are members of the Justice Society. So we know that that's going to be here. Next up was Joel McHale is going to be playing Sylvester Pemberton.
That's so weird.
Who is the Golden Age Starman and also a founding member of the Justice League, or Justice Society. Now, Our Man uses a drug called Miraclo, or something like Miraclo, M-I-R-A-C-L-O, that gives him the powers, or gives him powers for one use, or 1 hour with each use. That's why he's called Our Man. Sylvester Pemberton is Starman, and he wields an anti-gravity weapon called the Cosmic Staff, and has a sidekick called Stripesy. Stripesy is actually Stargirl's stepfather, Pat Dugan. So, and then finally, Brian Staff has been cast as Ted Grant Wildcat, which Grant doesn't have any superpowers, but if you've ever seen it, he's greatest boxer strong. The world's ever seen.
Yeah, dude has a punch Mike Tyson would cry about.
Yeah. So we know all three of those are coming to the new show. Now, Our Man and Wildcat we have seen in Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with it here. So, but also in we have more news for, let me see, I had more casting news here. Yes, for Stargirl, we have some of the villains. The Injustice Society, some has been casted. Now, we know the Justice Society of America with the three I just mentioned, but the DC Universe is now casting villains for the show, and the first three that we have noticed or been told about was, we were just talking Young Justice.
Mm-hmm.
We get Tigress, Sportsmaster, and Dragon King, I don't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I was looking through all this, Dragon King was one of them.
But we do have, Tigress is being played by Joy Osmansky, who was most recently in the Netflix series, The Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Sportsmaster is going to be played by Neil Hopkins, and he is part of the Golden Age Green Lanterns Rogues Gallery. So he's one of Alan Scott's rogues, usually.
Hmm.
And hopefully that this series sense. Is going to bring us Alan Scott also.
I hope.
It'll be the first time we've TV series, Green Lantern at all.
Period. Yeah, from Alan Scott at least. Wait.
Well, no, any Green Lantern. We've never had a Green Lantern on live the action. Small screen.
Oh, crap.
We had it in the movie and that was it.
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
And then the last one
that's long over
is Nelson Lee has been cast to play Dragon King, which I'm not familiar with this one.
Me either. I'm really not.
So, but I'm not a big... I'm not familiar with a lot of the Golden Age villains that haven't made it all the way through yet. So, we've got a couple other news stories here, but we're going to get into movies, but we got to talk movies first.
We do.
And the first movie we got to talk is the one we didn't see yet, or that we all saw.
Saw, yeah.
And I think the rest of the world has seen, because it has brought in, as of this morning, $950 million worldwide. And that is Aquaman.
That's insane.
The undeniable king of the box office
so
for 2018.
Oh,
or
so
20, the
this.
Christmas of 2018.
I like this better than Wonder Woman.
I did too.
I like.
I've heard
better.
People that go the other way also,
as a film, as a straight solid film. Here's my thing. I'm not hating on Wonder Woman.
We need
Woman.
To get the poster to we replace do. The. I mean, not to replace Wonder Woman.
I'm
but
not
to take that spot.
I'm
for
not
now.
Hating on Wonder Woman, but I have more fun
Oh, yeah.
With this. And I feel like a lot of critics say they like to be serious about stuff. They don't like to be so much fun in it. Most things that are more serious get more critic responses for it. But this was critically good, too. But I think that's why Wonder Woman did so good. Because to me, I wasn't having as much fun with it. I'm like, this is a great movie. I'm invested. But I'm not having as much fun. Aquaman was fun from beginning to end. I was invested and laughing and having a good time, clapping my hands, being amazed at the characters they put in there. I think this was a great, just kept it right to the comics too. They kept so many things about what made Aquaman Aquaman. From the cartoons, there was homages on there. From the comics, there were. From the cartoons, we didn't see a hook hand, but we didn't need a hook hand. By the way, it's not a hook hand, that's a harpoon hand.
Yeah, and actually that was not part of Aquaman for that long. He got that in the like mid to late 90s.
Yeah,
and the 90s. They got rid of it in the early 2000s.
Yeah, so it didn't last that long, but let's see how... Yeah, we should do it.
So we're gonna have to look into this.
But yeah, the movie was awesome. I had so much fun with this from the beginning of it. Have you seen Aquaman? Have you seen Atlantis yet? Justice League Atlantis, the animated,
the Throne of Atlantis,
or Throne of Atlantis?
I don't remember if I have or not. It's all I need to. Vicky and I are gonna sit and do a week and just blow through a lot of the animated stuff that's all in DC Universe.
I bought that on Blu-ray Universe. Like I love I feel like Aquaman is one of those characters where, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Aquaman.
This is actually allowing people to truly show their love of Aquaman.
Yeah, to me, I thought he was such an underrated character. And I always go back to, it was the Crime Syndicate. And it was like, you know, it was Superman's opposite Green Lantern. The top five Justice League members. But when it's Martian Manhunter and Aquaman, they were put to the side. Well,
going all the way back to the original Justice League in the early 60s, all the way through Super Friends, Aquaman has always been part of the Justice League.
Yeah.
You had the first three of Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Robin was always with Batman, but Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and then Aquaman.
And then later Aquaman.
There was the four of them were the Super Friends.
But
then they added in people like Green Lantern and Flash came in after those guys.
But see, here's the
Super
thing.
Friends. Now, in the original Justice League,
you
had seven members.
Exactly.
The original seven were Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Green Arrow, Flash, and Martian Manhunter.
Right. But let's look. Who's the top five, though, out of all of them?
In their setup back then, Aquaman would have been one of the top five.
But not
that
I'm talking about popularity. Well, not cartoons.
Currently or then? Back in the 80s?
The whole time.
60s and 70s was Aquaman was in the top
five. Not cartoon, though. I'm talking about, like, characters.
The reason he would have been used in cartoons was because he was so popular. He had
his own...
I thought
they couldn't use Flash and Green Arrow or Green
Lantern. As far as I know, Aquaman was used because he was so popular because he had his own standalone TV series back then. Cartoons.
There were
just Aquaman cartoons. Okay. It was Aquaman and Aqualad.
From me growing up. From what I saw.
See, that you grew up after Super Friends. Super Friends did not help Aquaman at all.
See, that's the thing. So when I grow up and I hear people from that generation, they literally make jokes about
Aquaman. That's because
Aquaman,
of what I
And that's
from
because
what
I know.
Super Friends. Friends made Aquaman into kind of a joke.
And this is what I'm saying. Now I'm going back to the
comics.
They
didn't promote his strength or his... he's almost as strong as Superman, as invulnerable.
Exactly. Strong as Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Strong as Martian Manhunter. Like, there's so Shazam. He's got some magic in there. He's a great character. But this is what I was saying for top five from what I was reading with the Crime Syndicate. They came back to our world because they already beat their opposites, which was the top five at the time, was Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash, and Green Lantern. Aquaman and Martian Manhunter were still here on our main Earth while they went there to fight. When they came back over here, like, we're going to take over this world, too. They're like, no, you're not. And they just had Aquaman and Martian Manhunter, and they whooped them up. And I'm like, because Aquaman is that strong. Martian Manhunter is that strong, too, but Aquaman has that much respect
well, you gotta
that
remember,
like he doesn't
in
get.
In Flashpoint, when two nations are destroying the world, the two strongest nations in the world,
the
leaders are Aquaman
and Wonder Woman.
Woman.
That says a lot. And hey, look at the movies.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that made them the most money solo since this whole new generation of movies has started, or not generation, this new film series have started, has been Aquaman and Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
But I love Black Manta. I love
They brought in Black Manta, where he wasn't the main villain.
No.
But this was a parallel origin story for Aquaman and for Black Manta.
Mm-hmm.
Which sets up for Aquaman 2, for Black Manta to be the villain.
Exactly. And then I feel like Ocean Master is going to be his ally in the next one.
Well, Ocean Master has been both an ally and a villain.
Yeah, and this first one is definitely the main antagonist in the movie. But because the reason why he hated Aquaman so much, guys, people have talked about a lot of this movie. We're just going to give our opinion on it. But everyone knows Aquaman was born from both species of the human and the Atlanteans.
Yeah. I don't even know if that was always been the origin.
That hasn't. It wasn't. But
yeah,
they basically mix the New 52 in with their original ones. And then his mother has to go back to sea, but he thinks that she has been killed by the Trench, and they sacrificed her original king, the husband, gave her away because, like, hey,
yeah,
you were supposed to be with the Atlanteans all the time. You're a traitor. So he fed her to the Trench as a sacrifice. Aquaman grows up hating the Atlanteans because he's like, wait a minute, you killed my mother. Why would I go down to the sea life, even though it might be part me? I'm not going to help you guys with anything because you killed my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then his brother comes into picture, and he's now the king because his father was king. And since his half-brother has never came to the undersea, he's like, you know what? I'm going to set up a way where we can destroy these humans for putting all this pollution in our waters. So he hires Black Manta to set up something where humans attack Atlantis. Now they can make a war from Atlantis and surface dwellers. And at the same time, Black Manta and Aquaman have their collision because Aquaman doesn't kill his father like he's always said. I like how they showed he didn't really kill his father, but he didn't help him. He let him die. He's like, because, well, you guys literally just killed all these other Navy Marines.
And the cool thing
is,
they actually give him, that's the very beginning of the movie, and you see Aquaman changes from there to the end of the movie.
Exactly.
Where at the end of the movie, he would have actually saved
him,
Black Manta's father.
That's a hero.
Yeah.
Not a...
The beginning of the story, he was not a hero.
Right. And him and his father go out to a bar, they come back, and now... Ocean Master is attacking the surface dwellers, and then you see Amanda Hearst.
And that's another
character.
One that they did phenomenal in this was Aquaman. A lot of times is environmental stories.
Yeah, he is.
They're always ticked off because everybody's dumping in the ocean and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have turned this into an environmental awareness movie,
but they didn't,
which would have ruined this. They did put that in there. But it was a very small, and that was the reason why Atlantis wants to rise
up.
Yes,
all you needed,
but
was just that little bit. You didn't make the whole
just
movie
it.
Out of it.
They showed it, and then let the movie go on,
mm-hmm.
knowing that you know this now.
Yeah, like, look at all this crap you guys left in our oceans.
Yeah.
So Amber Heard's character, Amira,
mm-hmm.
comes in, and she's like, I'm warning you, he's going to do it. And he's like, I don't care. I just want to go home with my dad, and we just have a good time, wake up next morning, do the same thing over again. And then as he's driving home, Ocean Master's putting all this pollution back on their
The giant tidal waves that are destroying all the world, or all the areas of the world,
and
attack them too.
Right, and then he's like, you know what, Mira? You're right, I gotta do something. So he goes down there with her, I'm forgetting who William Dafoe's, I forget the
That's character.
Volko, thank you. Volko's been training him, as we know, he's been basically his mentor this whole
life.
Well,
he's been the captain of the guard and a couple other things.
He's been
in
a
the
lot
comics.
Of things. He's been several
He's basically,
things.
Yeah, he's always been basically the trainer for the royalty and stuff.
And he tells him, hey, they all meet up and he's like, your brother's crazy. Your brother wants to just attack this,
He's trying to unite the kingdoms of the ocean.
Yeah.
And whoever can unite all of the kingdoms gets the title of Ocean Master.
Right, which we all know he's going to turn out to be anyway.
Yeah, and then once he does that, he will take all of the kingdoms of the undersea to attack the surface.
And of course, Aquaman, once he gets down there, he gets captured because just things happen.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, I don't want to fight you in a battle, brother, hint, hint, I'm going to go find this Triton that our grandfather had with Mira and Valko, he just says, you know, I want to fight you and become king and ruler. Like, no, you're not supposed to do that. That wasn't the plan. So, of course, he almost loses, but Mira steps in and she stops them from fighting. Now she's going to be an outcast along with Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to the surface level and they do a couple of, I say, Indiana Jones-like things.
Well, yeah, they got to find out where this Triton that could actually bring the worlds together. Because Aquaman, there's a prophecy, because there's always a prophecy.
Always.
The prophecy says that someone of a man of both worlds will mm-hmm. unite the world.
World. So, of course,
And him being a man of
both
surface
worlds.
And water
yeah.
so, is the one they think is supposed to unite everything.
Of course, he can do both. He's been on the water, in the water now. He's been mm-hmm. on land. Now he has to find the rest of his own land, because Atlantis was once on land.
Yeah.
So he has to go through this whole treasure of everything that had happened. Once they get to Italy, we see now Black Manta's found him, and they cause a lot of havoc. But our heroes win in the end, and he gets his head basically split open. Not his head, his helmet split open.
Yes.
And he falls back in the sea. I mean, this dude goes tumbling about 15 times. I felt the drop. Boom, 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 boom. Just goes right down, and then out all those rocks he hits the sea. And now he just know, did he die? We don't know. He just knows he goes back into the ocean floating. And then, of course, him and Mira start traveling to find where the king put his trident. And we see the trench start attacking them, which to me was one of the best looking scenes out of the whole movie, when the trench just follows them all the way down into the very bottom depths of the sea, and he gets into the what was this? Remind me of something from we just read in Superman with the dinosaurs. It was like that lost island in the middle of the earth that no one seen before. It's like, oh wait, dinosaurs still exist here.
Mm-hmm.
And as he gets there, he sees someone attacking Mira. He's like, no, stop! She takes off her mask. It's his mother.
Yes.
That we thought had died. She didn't die. She just literally ended up the same way there as they did. And she wants to get out and would have got back to him and his father, but she couldn't leave because only the king, worthy king, can get the trident and leave. And then as they're underneath there, he has to go through this like this waterfall to basically show his worthiness, or he's worthy enough to get this trident and save the world. But
yes, and it is a waterfall under the ocean.
Whatever. And Julie Andrews is playing the Kraken.
That's interesting because she was not in Mary Poppins Returns.
I'm thinking
this
is
why. But she played the voice in this. Well, no, she's actually had some major problems with her voice and stuff. She can't sing or anything anymore.
She can speak, of course, but she can't.
But it's still not where it was.
No, and that's why she had, like, what, maybe 2 minutes?
She had throat cancer or something. I don't remember what it was.
God, that's terrible. Get better, Julie Andrews, if you aren't already. Still praying for you. She's doing like a 2-minute role here, so it wasn't too long.
She basically plays a version of a Kraken.
Yeah, and when Aquaman gets there,
which it's been pointed out to me, and I can't see it, I can't unsee it now. Is
what?
It's another mechanical spider. Think about it.
DC in the Warner Brothers.
No, it's Warner Brothers executives. In the third act, they need this giant monster of some sort. Yeah. Well, they put a giant, but James Wan made it work.
Yeah. Oh, he did. That thing looked. And here's the thing: you only
final
saw the
undersea battle was
at the time
amazing.
When you were hearing her talk to him, she's about to attack him because he hears her, but we don't know that she knows he can understand her. She's like attacking him, saying, "I haven't eaten in years. Everyone's came here, and many have fallen. Your mother's tried. She's died or almost died trying to get this trident. Everyone's died. Look at these skeletons." And Aquaman just is like in attack, hitting her, and then he's getting beat up so much. He's like, "Stop!" And at the beginning of the movie, we see when he was in the museum or the was he at a zoo? He was at the aquarium where all these sea lifes basically protected him because bullies were attacking him and pushing him against the glass. And we found out from then he can talk to sea life.
Yeah.
He did it also when he saved him a mirror with the Pinocchio reference of the whale. And it happened again because a Kraken is a sea life creature. And she's like, wait a minute, you can understand me? I can understand you? He's like, yeah, I've been doing this my whole life. She's like, the only person that's done that was been your ancestor, which was this king. And it's like, oh, that's why I've been able to do it. So she's like, you must be worthy. So take it. If it doesn't accept you, I'm going to have to eat you. That's just the way the rules work. But he picks it up, and he becomes the Aquaman we've always known to be in the cartoons and the comics. He is the king of the sea. He's not like he was in Justice League. He becomes, like, 10 times more powerful. As his brother Orm is fighting everybody in the sea, trying to get all these 7 seas together, doing his dictatorship, Aquaman comes up with the Kraken, stops everything. Him and Orm have their battle. Of course, Aquaman wins. And we see what happens, and he becomes a true ruler of the sea, and he has this little monologue saying, I've been the king of the land, I've been king of the sea, I can walk through both worlds, I am Aquaman, this is my destiny, this is what I need. So we see him becoming Aquaman, and then there's a post-credit scene between Black Manta and...
I forget the name of the doctor that's in it. It is a character from DC Comics.
Yeah, and he's also been in Throne of Atlantis too. I can't find his name. Once I find out, I'll let you guys
but
know.
Yeah, it is basically the character is very similar to the kind of like the guy from the Ancient Aliens TV series.
Stevenson? Randall Park plays him.
Stevenson?
Dr. Stevenson.
Yeah.
Sin.
Stevenson.
And in the comics, basically, he was the guy, as we've seen in the movie. Atlanteans exist. We can find it. And they're like,
there's
crazy.
No such thing as Atlanteans.
After all this that happened, it's one of those things like, there's been a guy that can fly around the world, and he's an alien.
Yeah, we already know there's
Atlanteans
aliens.
On our own world. I don't know. A little crazy. Don't make sense.
We already know there's Atlanteans.
Yep.
We know there's Amazons.
Yeah, right.
And there's this secret island. No one's there. Why would there not be Atlanteans?
That's like saying the color blue is real. what's red? You know, it's like, duh. Duh. So he's trying to prove to the world that he's not crazy or dumb or anything. He finds Black Manta's like, you know where they are? He's like, yeah. Let's work together and let's find them. He's like, okay. So that's the end of the movie. That's going to be, I think, the plot of Aquaman 2. And as I said, we kind of just did a rundown of that. But Aquaman was a very fun movie. It's almost made $1 billion. I think it's
going it'll to break a it'll break dollars. At least $1 billion.
So
because you only need, like I said, $50 million. That's one more. That's maybe 2 to 3 weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movies drop off. It's pulling about $20 to $25 million a year week now. Worldwide.
So Jason Momoa, keep doing your thing as Aquaman. You're perfect.
And Jason Momoa has said on the red carpets and stuff that Henry Cavill is not done doing Superman yet.
He wants to do a movie with him. They've yes. been literally he loves that guy. Like they need to do a movie. But that's Aquaman. We're going to get into a couple more news.
Yeah, we have a couple
DC.
More just to hit on
just to hit on
things.
Quick.
Some of them, real quick, they did announce this week, that people had almost seemed to almost forget about this, that the Batman from Matt Reeves is still in the works, and it looks like they're supposed to go in front of cameras in November.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be getting more details soon, or sometime in the next 6 months, about casting and things like that.
Yeah, so... Hey guys, it's still happening. And
actually,
in this
we might hear anything else until Comic Con for this one.
I'm cool. Don't let me know. I love being surprised. But in this article, it does say even the actor, or even the director says he would like to see Ben Affleck come back as Batman. Later on.
Well, they've not even said in this when this takes place. It's not supposed to be an origin story, but it's not supposed to be a year one story either.
Right.
So I'm not sure what time frame this is. It's supposed to be possibly a younger Bruce Wayne and Batman, but we will find out when it happens. The next one was another real quick one, as we have more casting for Birds of Prey, and this is going to kind of be part of we're learning who some of the villains here are now for Birds of Prey, which I don't like the full name of Birds of Prey still, but we'll see how this goes.
I don't either.
Is we got Chris Messina playing Victor Zsasz. Which will be interesting to see their version of Zsasz after seeing him on Gotham. Did you see the Gotham premiere?
No.
You got to watch the Gotham premiere. It's no man's land, man.
That's not my Gotham. That's not my Batman world.
It's Elseworlds. Just remember, it's Elseworlds, and enjoy the ride.
Until they include it into our universe we're watching
it
right
is
now.
Elseworlds. Just enjoy the ride. Well, you got to remember, Batman's been on the scene for a while. This could be the beginning or the early Earth 1.
Here's the thing.
Because this is 20, you can, by looking at the tech and the cars, this is mid to late 90s.
You are not wrong. Until they tell me, I will watch it. But until then, I'm like, I just can't. I just can't.
Would it not blow your mind if the last episode of that actually ties it into the current Earth 1 universe?
That would blow my mind. If they do that, they will get all praise from me. If they don't do it, I'm still going to feel the same way I do. but Birds of Prey is now including another character of Victor Zsasz, played by Chris Messina.
Yes.
Now,
this is not the only villain in this, though.
No.
We did get Ewan McGregor as Black Mask. So, and Zsasz has always been a henchman.
Yeah.
Always will be. He's a murderer, but he always works for someone else.
And if he doesn't
Black Mask.
If he doesn't work for someone else, you know he's going to be on a killing spree, but I doubt they're going to do that.
No, he's working for Black Mask. That's just the way this works.
Yeah. But so we have another one, including Ewan McGregor, Margot Robbie, Mary Elizabeth, Winston, and Jereen. Semelit Bell?
Journey Smollett, yeah.
but this movie will be hitting theaters in 2020.
And then the last of the news we have is...
This is comic book news.
Over the last 2 months, we've basically got wholesale cancellations of different books.
And some of these I have in mind.
Some of these
we probably saw coming.
The first one, I've been reading it. It's been fun, but it's not a big loss for me.
To me, this has been a miss for me. I read, I remember reviewing, I think I did, the first three, and then I was like, I stopped reading.
Yeah. The Curse of Brimstone has been canceled after 12, at the end of issue 12.
And
it'll be the last one.
I'm sorry it got canceled.
Yeah.
It didn't connect with me. Something about it, I just was like, eh.
And actually, I'm going to skip past the next one, because the next one I have here is looking at what's left of the new age of DC heroes. Now, remember, at the beginning of this year, we had the big slate of 8 books coming from the new age of DC heroes. Everybody's excited about it. It was all creator-owned type, or creator,
which is great.
I
love for people being creative. I'm not trying to take away. I want them to continue to make titles that are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Even though some of them I might not agree with, it's trial and tribulation.
Some of them have hit really huge.
I'm going to give you my five.
Silencer in this. He's already been in Green
Silencer
Arrow.
Was
He was in Arrow. She was in Arrow TV
series.
I
love Silencer. I think Sideways is great. I think Terrific's the best book for me personally.
Oh, Terrific's been amazing. The eight books were Damage, Silencer, Sideways, and Terrific's, which have been the best of the best so far.
Four, and then the other four.
The Immortal Men, which is already done. Curse of Brimstone, which is
being canceled.
Being canceled with issue number 12. The New Challengers, which is already gone. And The Unexpected, which has already been canceled
also. The reason why I didn't like The Unexpected, it was too complicated. It was so much going on in there.
They
even put the Batman Who Laughs in there, and I'm like, I love him, but the way you guys... It was too much going on for me. Like, it was just too much. It was, I don't know what and why, but... I'm going to miss Terrifics.
Yeah.
I am going to miss the Terrifics. Damage was
great.
Sideways was great. And now
there are three, because Sideways has also been canceled.
Silencer should stay.
Sideways.
No, I'm saying for me, out of all of these titles, here's why I'm saying this.
Well, Silencer has hit the ground running with someone because, like I said, she's already been put in Arrow.
Right.
They said, especially with Sideways being canceled.
Yeah.
They're not done with the character, but his own solo series hasn't been doing as well.
For me, this is why I'm saying if we lose Terrifics, I loved it and I love reading it, but it's Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, The Unexpected is ending with number 8.
Right.
Well, that's coming out this month, I believe. Hang on. Well, Damage is still going as far as I know.
Right, but if it did, that's what I'm saying, though. If it was with all this stuff happening, he reminds me more of the Hulk, and I guess what I'm saying is for Sideways, he reminds me of Spider-Man, then you have Brimstone and Ghost Rider. Silencer, to me, I've never heard of anyone like her before. There's nothing I feel like they're... Mm-hmm. putting in. It's just
the other three here, the Terrifics, Damage,
right.
and Sideways,
right.
were very similar to other characters from other companies.
Silencer is...
It's an all-original character.
Yeah, all original. So if out of all of them, if it gets to that point, please keep on Silencer. Yeah. Please.
Well, we have two more cancellations. These ones were shocks for me. The first one is Suicide Squad number 50.
Is the last issue
of Suicide Squad for this run.
I love this version. This is my favorite team of Suicide Squad. Like, for me, this is my favorite one. And I know they're the ones from the movies, but they took the characters they put in the movies and they made this one work.
Yeah.
They actually moved
away from what was it. They started with what was in the movie and they moved away. Real early on, they got Diablo out of there.
Yeah, yeah. But he would come back every now and then.
He's using other versions because they've shown with Suicide Squad Black Files that's out right now.
Right, right. And then
there's more than one Suicide Squad running.
Versus Justice League. He did good in there.
Well, like I said, and he's running. They're running more than one Suicide Squad right now.
And that's to me how Suicide Squad should be, because it's a lot of different characters. She's like, I'll blow up your head, but you're not used for this mission. Let me use this team member, and it's been good.
And the other one that is a huge shock is with issue number 50. Green Arrow is being canceled.
Now, that's shocking me more than Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
That's really crazy. Because the way they're using the character, they give him all this opportunity to showcase how good he is, and even with the Roy Harper death, they're showing his it's weird.
This is not a character that will ever go away.
No, of course not.
All kinds of stuff already planned for Oliver for this year.
But right now...
But the solo title is not going to be going.
I think he might join Justice League or another.
Oh, I guarantee he will be. And Dan DiDio... going back to DC Daily again, did his year-end talk with DC Daily, and it talked about stuff coming up, and he said, this is the year of the villain coming up.
Oh, really?
So they've not announced anything yet, other than we know in February, we know the plans for the 80th anniversary of Batman and the 1,000th issue of Detective Comics, which is very similar to what they did with Superman. You're going to get the 80-year history book of Detective Comics history book. You're going to get the all the special versions of Detective Comics number 1000.
Right.
Then later on, we'll get the hardcover like we did before.
Right.
And so a lot of it, they're going to treat the same way, with the same respect that they treated to Action number 1000.
Right.
So that's coming this year, coming up. But other than that, we don't know what else is coming, other than we know Flash War is coming in the next month or so.
Right. But
after that, we don't know. Because we don't know what's the world look like at the end of Doomsday Clock.
That might be a reset.
That's the last thing that's running.
Not a big reset, something that starts something new for us.
That's the only major one that's still running that is a universe-wide type deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will see once we get to the end of that. We've got, four issues left?
Yeah.
So we'll find out what does the DC universe look like after that.
But
I think they're purposely showing as little as possible till we get there.
And now we are going to see the adventures. Well, sorry, adventures.
Not yet.
We went a little further. But we are going to get into what we are knowing this coming the next week.
Yeah. We do know for next week that there are things coming. And that is because we need to make a trip.
We do.
And that sounder means this week, like every week, we got to take our weekly trip to the comic shop. Well, every week except for Christmas week. Easy didn't put out anything for Christmas week.
They were, hey, I didn't.
Well, I was talking to John. So much stuff I was talking to John down at Arc Shop, Kenmore Comics, here in Akron, Ohio, and he was saying that there was only 5 books that were put out at all by anybody.
So
Marvel, I think, had 2. IDW had 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And someone else had 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And that was it.
So
because everybody realized Christmas was on Tuesday. New comic book day is Wednesday. People are still hungover from Christmas on Wednesday.
No one's coming out. Yeah.
So, but
smart.
We do have...
Smart thinking, guys.
They did get right back on the bandwagon rather rapidly because we have 14 titles for this week. Starting with, you have it up there,
Super Sons.
Oh, Super Sons, yes.
Issue number 6.
This one's been interesting, seeing the adult. Now, since we've not done any reviews for a while, I think we need to go back and talk about what's been happening as we come
now,
into
some of these. I haven't read everything of the.
This one has been awesome because you're seeing an adult Jonathan Kent and an adult Damian Wayne that they're dealing with on this world in this weird house that they're in.
Okay, because it's like he's Red Robin, not Batman.
Yeah.
That's weird to me. With Adventures of Super Sons, the Super Sons are lost in time and space. On the run from the gang, then trapped on a planet of secrets and mystery. Superboy and Robin have lost everything and gotten a glimpse of how their own tomorrow may end. When the planet's mysterious creator returns on the break of creation, on a broken creation, the boys find out that tomorrow sucks as much as every other day. art done by Scott Gowalski and written by Peter J. Tomasi.
That's interesting. I wonder who the actual creator of this world was.
All I can think about is Jor-El, personally.
I don't know. I don't think
so. No? Okay. All right. Well.
Well, next one. We've talked about how Batman has been interesting, and we're dealing with the repercussions of Bane being in charge of everything and beating on the bat. Well, we get to Batman number 62. The Eisner-winning creative team behind Mr. Miracle is back together as artist Mitch Gerards rejoins the Bat team for the special issue. Professor Pig is loose in Gotham, and you know what that means, or you know that things are going to get weird and bloody.
And very bloody.
And as I said, the art is done by Mitch Gerards, and it's written by Tom King, with a variant cover by Frank Miller on this one.
Oh!
So Frank Miller's throwing his hat back in here a little bit.
This next one is, and I haven't read these in a minute. I read
Batman Kings of Fear, yes. This is one of the miniseries.
Yep.
And it's been fun. This has a very 90s look and feel to it.
I know, it looks just like
it. Which is awesome. You need to read these ones because the art style is very much early mid-90s and late 90s Batman, Shadow of the Bat style. And it is basically a story of Batman and the Scarecrow dealing with what is the Bat truly afraid of, and what is the city afraid of. It's, I believe, a 12-part story about fear.
But this is called Batman.
No, this is the finale. It's only 6 parts.
Batman Kings of Fear, epic finale. Batman must battle Scarecrow in his own mind to save Gotham City. If he doesn't, Scarecrow will turn Gotham into everything else Batman believes in, into a nightmarish hellscape. And that's usually what Batman thinks about Scarecrow anyway. Art's done by Kelly Jones and written by Scott Pearson.
Okay. Next up, we have...
The Brimstone.
The Curse of Brimstone. Now, I have been reading this, and it is very strange because... we get Joe as Brimstone and usually fighting to see if he can keep control of this monster inside of him. And it very much, I've not read Ghost Rider, but it reminds me of everything I've seen of Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we've got 2 more issues after this one. And with this one, with Joe completely taken over by Brimstone, will Annie be the next person to land in his line of fire? Now, Annie is his sister in this. Now, reeling from her brother Joe's loss... Oh, see, it told you right there. Annie finds herself in a dark place, which only gets darker when her serial killer suitor, Wandering Jack, crosses her path once more. Trapped in Jack's mind games, Annie comes close to going over a fateful edge against another supernatural foe. But just when all seems lost, help arrives from an unlikely and unholy source. Art's done by Eduardo Pessina, and it's written by Justin Jordan. That could be just about anybody, because a couple of these New Age books has brought in characters from outside. Like, we've had Superman in Sideways already.
Right.
Well, Silencer, since the beginning, has had Talia al Ghul and Deathstroke and some of these other ones like that in there. So it'll be interesting to see who would be an unholy, unlikely source that for this.
We will find out. Next in Deathstroke, issue number 39. Slade is back in Arkham after his Zeta Beam jaunt into Planet Terra, but did he ever...
Polar, sorry.
I don't know, thinking of a movie, sorry.
Yeah. Well, this is another part of the...
Deathstroke Arkham
storyline. Mm. As soon as they were done... Deathstroke, I believe, is in issue 29, was put into Arkham.
Long ago? Huh.
But as soon as he was put into Arkham, they went back and did the Batman versus Joker story. Or Batman versus Deathstroke story.
Is that what happened?
Which took place out of the timeline of this.
Okay.
And then they jumped back into this.
I'll look. Oh, okay.
So he's only been in Arkham for 4 or 5 issues now.
Okay.
Because I believe the Batman versus Deathstroke was a 6-issue run.
It was only 6.
So this is only the fourth issue of him dealing with Arkham.
With the whole Damian thing. Okay.
Yeah.
But did he ever actually leave? Is this alien invasion just a delusion? And who is this Fox Deathstroke who's running around? A deep dive into Slade's psyche, just in time to watch him lose his mind. Art done by Jason Pez, Fernando Passarian, and Carlo Penguillian. Written by Christopher Priest.
Okay. Next up, we get Green Arrow, number 48. Count Vertigo stages the jailbreak and turns Seattle into a surrealist maelstrom that threatens to consume the entire city. But when Ollie learns Vertigo's true motivations, the Emerald Archer's fragile psyche will be ripped to shreds. Is Ollie throwing himself into the hero game because of a death wish? Not if Black Canary has anything to say about it. Art is done by Javier Fernandez and is written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. This has been interesting because in these, Ollie is still having to figure out how to deal with Roy Harper's death. So, because when Roy died, he was still in the middle of fighting the Citizen, who was putting the one percenters of Star City at that point on trial and basically murdering them for their failings, basically for them failing the city.
Right.
So now that part is done, he's still having a lot of time trying to deal with what's going on with the death of Roy and things.
But next we have Green Lantern issue number 3.
This has been fun so far.
When the Earth goes up for sale on an alien black market, it's up to Green Lantern Corps to bust up the Slave Lords of the Stars. In the latest space saga from Grant Morrison's Multiversity and Liam Sharp's Wonder Woman, with the Justice League frozen by Gamma Gog Tech, Earth ends up on an accusation block to Vulgar Zoe. Hosts a menagerie of the universe's deadliest deposits of criminals.
Despots and criminals, yes.
Steppenwolf Queen Bee. The
Dominators.
Thank you. I was like, we just read about these guys.
Yeah.
Dominators and much, much worse. Hal Jordan leads a squad of Lanterns into the fray, and someone's going to pay the ultimate price before this case is going to get closed. Art done by Liam Sharp and written by Grant Morrison.
The cool thing with this is going to be the core that they've shown so far in this new Green Lantern series has been a lot of people we've not seen for a long, long time.
Yeah, like you have.
It's not your normal guys. Well, that's the villains in this one. They mentioned Queen Bee, Vulgar Zoe, the Dominators, and Steppenwolf. But the Green Lanterns we've seen, I don't remember all their names. You were actually filling me in because there's a lot of guys that were brought in the mid-2000s and stuff that. Because you're not going to see your stand. I mean, Guy Gardner might be in with this, but because we've not seen him in a while. But like you're not going to see
Kilowog. Yeah,
Kilowog. All the ones that are standard lanterns that are all over the place. You're not going to see
them. Past year,
these are going to be the guys you don't know. That's what they've done so far in these new Green Lantern issues. So the next one up is one that all for me is always one of my first reads for the week is Harley Quinn number 57. There's been a murder in Gotham City, and all the evidence points to one suspect, Harley Quinn. Batman hunts Harley down on Coney Island, where they come to blows. But did she actually do the crime? Meanwhile, the trials of Harley Quinn begin. The Lords of Order and Chaos send their harbinger, Miriander, the ghost of a young, Earth-obsessed Tamaranian, to find a champion to complete their seven trials and become the Lords of Archangel of become the Lords' Archangel of Retribution, and Harley Quinn is their new contender. So that's they're gonna let Harley Quinn fight for the Lords of Order.
Well,
I could see her fighting for the Lords of
Chaos, not order.
So,
yes, you need order. She was good at taking order.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Art is done by John Timms and it's written by Sam Humphries. Sam Humphries has been awesome on DC Daily, by the way. I keep referencing the DC Universe stuff, but if you guys aren't watching DC Universe,
watch it. It is awesome.
It.
They're also on YouTube, but really watch on, you know.
Well, you DC don't Universe. The DC Daily. You don't get the whole show on YouTube. You don't get
You don't get the actual whole show. You don't. You get
the
clips.
Second half. You get the news clips at the beginning, but that's it.
But next is Justice League issue number 15.
This is interesting. Did you read the issue before this?
I read two issues before this. I haven't read the last
issue. Okay, because this one, the last issue had Martian Manhunter, Jon Stewart, and Hawkgirl, which is Kendra in this one, back on Thanagar. But Shayera Hall is there also.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendra and Shayera are the same person. So it's interesting to see what's going on with this. Go ahead.
Justice League issue number 15, Hawkfight, Martian Manhunter, Green Lantern, and Hawkgirl clash with Shayera Hall, also known as Hawkgirl. When the League tries to break a secret vault deep within Themyscira Prime,
Thanagar Prime,
and the Fellers are going to fly. Speaking of secrets, MM, which is Martian Manhunter, learns one about himself in Lex Luthor, as related to him by Martian Keep, guardian of all Martians, wisdom of history. Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, I needed you to say that. Thank you. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman must stop Starman from going Nova. Of course, you need a Trinity to stop that.
Well, you got
to
remember, during Justice League Drowned, it was Batman was in the Hall of Justice trying to protect it while the world was being drowned.
Yep.
And Starman was in there, and they want to know why Lex Luthor was torturing Starman, what information they're trying to get. So they used Jaro, which is the little Starro in a jar. He's been working with the Justice League this time.
That was cute.
They're calling him Jaro, yes. But he put him on Starman to start sucking the information out of Starman. That's the dangerous thing. Putting Starro on anybody purposely is not a good thing.
Starro and Starro. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Anyways, art done by Jim Chung, Steven Segovia, Mark Morales, and written by Scott Snyder, James Tynion IV. Am I saying that right, Tynion?
Tynan. Yes, Tynan. Now that I actually know
I gotta get used to that. It's weird. It's one of those names you're like, oh, yeah. Whoops.
And next up, we get part two of another 12-part maxi series.
He's back.
Which, yes. This is one you were waiting for a long time, and if this is anything like the last big 12-part series, it's going to change a lot of things we think about this character.
It's so weird.
Because the last major 12-part single-character story was Mr. Miracle.
Yeah.
Well, this is Martian Manhunter number 2, and it is strange a little bit because we're back on Mars at the beginning of his life type stuff. It says, return to Mars, and Martian Manhunter number 2, return to Mars in the days before its doom and see the love affair of Jean and Miria, and a Martian coming-of-age ritual you'll never forget. There's some scenes in the last issue that I don't think I can ever forget either. All of these painful memories Jean carries with him to his new life on Earth. But first, he's got to survive the pain of a car crash, being set on fire and accidentally revealing his true form to his detective partner. Did we mention she's heavily armed? Art is done by Riley Rossmo and it's written by Steve Orlando.
Next is Nightwing, and it's been so off since he's been shot.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Yeah, because we have Nightwing, now Rick Grayson, is a lot darker, a lot more about all about Rick. But there are still four Nightwings running around. The one of the detectives from Bloodhaven found the stash of
Nightwing's
old costumes.
Yeah.
And got the chief fire investigator and two other detectives to become Nightwing with him.
And this one is going to be Nightwing 56. The Nightwings have been picking up the slack Dick Grayson left behind, making a dent in petty crime and cleaning up the streets of Bloodhaven. But as Scarecrow plans to come to fruition, it looks like they may have been off more than they can chew.
Yeah, these guys are not ready for someone like Scarecrow.
Yeah. Putting Grayson in a position he was not prepared for. One of where he may be forced to become a hero once more.
That'd be interesting if we get a brand new Nightwing costume out of this, because this is a new Dick Grayson.
Yeah. The art's done by Gary Brown, and it's written by Fabian Nicasica and Scott Lobdell.
Yeah, this has been interesting because it is a Dick Grayson we've never gotten anywhere before.
Yeah.
Like this. So, where are we going to go with this? So, next up, we have The Unexpected, number 8. This is the final issue of The Unexpected. In diffusing the nth metal isotope, The Unexpected have accidentally given the Bad Samaritan what he's always wanted, a doorway to the dark multiverse, and Mandrake. But Monitor World isn't just a doorway, it's a trapdoor. With the multiverse on life support, opening it may just be the kill shot everyone's feared. Art's done by Ronan Cleek, and it's written by Steve Orlando.
Next is...
Ha! I get the good one. I get the big one we're waiting for. You get this one.
Next is Suicide Squad Black Files issue number 3, Katana's Revenge on Cobra of Cobra.
This Part I thought 3. When this first came out, I thought this was a one shot.
Mm.
But no, this is actually a mini series.
They've done this before. Maybe.
Yeah. And each of these, there's two stories in each of these, and it's cool because this being Black Files, this is showing other teams than the standard Suicide Squad.
Trapped in the mystic dimension within the Soul Taker Sword, Katana and her husband Meso fight the forces of the mad swordsman, Muramasa, who has amassed an army to invade the worlds outside our world. Suicide Squad Black, Part 3. Suicide Squad Black comes face to face with Sebastian Faust. Faust is back.
Yeah.
Who naturally makes Amanda Waller's supernatural enforces an offer they cannot refuse. Will the Suicide Squad make another deal with the devil? Man, Wall was always the first one. Art's done by Felipe Brawley's, Wayne Fratcher, Scott Easton, written by Jay Nuez and Mike Barr.
Mike Barr's been doing stuff for a long time.
And here's your favorite.
Yes. And this Suicide Squad Black has been awesome because it is basically a just like Justice League Dark is your magic team. Well, this is the Suicide Squad's magic team.
Yeah.
And then we get the first Wonder Comics comic book.
They're back.
Young Justice, number one.
Wow.
Is it not? It's not just on the TV screen anymore.
This is happening. Again.
Now we don't even know where he's coming from, but it's Superboy, Wonder Girl, Robin, Impulse, and Amethyst. They're all united in Young Justice number 1, the debut issue of a brand new series that's about to introduce new heroes, Teen Lantern, and Ginny Hex. Now, anybody who doesn't know, Amethyst is actually a character from a place called Gemworld, and it's been off and on in the DC Universe for years, but the most I know it from was when they used to run the Green Lantern animated series. They had DC Comics shorts that they'd run in between during commercial breaks, and they had some Amethyst shorts. So you can actually, on DC Universe, they have those out. Can actually look at that. There's a spot where you can find the DC Universe shorts. Yeah, they're all like 2 or 3. So it says, when the nightmare dimension known as Gemworld invades Metropolis, these teen heroes reunite to deal with the situation. But they're shocked to discover the battle may be the key to the return of Connor Kent, a.k.a. Superboy. This mix of fan favorites and new legacy heroes will be the center point of some of the biggest goings on at DC. If that weren't enough, Bendis reunites with all-star artist Patrick Gleason, who's done everything from Superman, Action Comics, and Green Lantern Corps, to bring the new heroes of the DC Wonder Comics to life. Now, well, let me get through the artists and stuff. The artist, like I said, was Patrick Gleason. He's also did the covers and the variant covers, and it's written by Brian Michael Bendis. But which Robin are we getting in this? Is this going to be Red Robin,
or is it
Damian?
Hold on.
I can't tell. At the bottom, it shows Robin, but what Robin is it that they're talking about? I think they're just saying Robin as just Robin.
Robin, yeah, that's it.
The Boy Wonder, yeah, it doesn't say which one.
I hope it's Tim. It better be Tim.
Alias, yeah, it does. Real name, yeah, under real name here, under DC Comics, if you look at the solicits, it says in there, on the bottom, you can actually click on the characters, and this one says real name, Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, or Damian Wayne.
So
any of those. And actually, there's a couple of them missing off that list.
Yeah, right.
So, but that is the last book for this week, and that actually brings us to the end of our return episode. So, Vern, we're back. And we are back to weekly.
We are.
So, the craziness of the holidays is over. The trees are ready to get put away. Most people probably already put yours away.
We took everything from outside, but not inside yet, because we still feel it hard. But we're going to take them down by next weekend.
Yeah.
So, but hey, guys, thanks for tuning in. We took some time off, but we had to spend time with our family. We had to get stuff together. I hope you guys did the same thing. But we had a great comeback with all these great things to talk about, and we're going to talk about more for the new year. Happy New Year, everybody, once again. And you know where you can find us at. I'm just going to go there.
That's right. So, Vernon, where can people find us?
What's on your hat? What's on my mug?
Exactly.
What's on your shirt?
If you find all of our stuff.
DCSuperpowers.com, and from there you can find our gear tab, you can find our sponsors tab, you can find our links to our other videos of YouTube and our pictures from all the Comic Cons, and of course you can find a link to where we come right here, the podcast, and you can also look us up on iTunes, and we're on Spotify too. We are on Weebie Geeks too, if you want to go check them out there too. But you can find us on our social media page, DC Superpowers Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, but on Twitter, DC Superpowers Podcast is also called something else on Twitter. It is at DC. See, this has been a while.
At Superpowers, DC.
See, I had most of it. I missed one. That's just one. Don't hold it against me. For my personal usage, you can find me on Hollin' Out Wolf on Instagram. I'm VL on Twitter. I'm Vernon McLean Moore on Facebook, and my partner Ken.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also remember, you can always email us.
Yes.
DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com. You can also, there was something else I remembered as I was doing this, but I don't remember right now. So, you can find us, as you mentioned, the Tangebound of Weebie Geeks podcast at TangeboundPodcast.com or TangeboundNetwork.com and WeebieGeeksPC.com. And other than that, oh, that's the other one. Remember, every Sunday night, unless we tell you otherwise on social media, you can find us on our Twitch channel.
Yes.
And that's, I believe, twitch.tv/DC Superpowers Podcast.
We still got to get that right. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Well, go to twitch.tv, and look up the DC Superpowers Podcast. You'll find us. We are there. I'm telling you this.
We are the geeks you are looking for.
Exactly. No. We're the dynamic duo of Junior Justice
League. You know why I did that? I had to give a shout out somewhere. Just let me share love, Ken. It's a new year. Share the love.
Well, super friends, thank you for hanging out and coming back with us. And
thank you guys. Thank you.
Another
thank you.
Great year, Vernon. Thank you for hanging out.
Always
with me,
fun.
Sir.
Always fun.
We'll see you next week.
Yes, we will. With our new love.
That's right, super friends. We'll see you next week.